Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in the fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Boy, yeah, I feel good, even though the Patriots weren't involved this weekend. I'm very optimistic about 2009 coming up.
You said that the other show, too.
I do. I feel real good about victory. This.
Eric chiming in earlier and earlier each week.
We continue to feed the rest of the NFL with the...
I was going to say, is this where you spin all the coaches leaving as a good thing?
Right. We continue to feed the rest of the NFL with the fruits of Bill Belichick's labor, and but we're going to be fine. And I'm taking an optimistic view of 2009 right now.
I'm really surprised by that.
I am too, Paul.
I'm very excited. But here we are, another show. It's Tuesday.
Embrace the hate in 08, baby.
January,
yeah, we need another one of those.
January 13th, 2009. The gang is all here. Food has been provided by Brian from Papa Gino's, and I'll get to his email in a second.
Not Brian, from Papa Gino's.
Brian from Brighton.
Brian from Brighton. Well,
provided us
from
Papa
Brian
Gino's.
From Papa. That's what I meant. Okay, thank you for the grammar correction.
So what is your,
gender.
What is your embrace the hate in 08? What's your slogan for 09?
I haven't figured it out.
It's our time in 09 or something you know, similarly stupid?
Well, no, it's something. Well, I'll figure something
Define the wine in 09.
Define the wine in 09?
Yeah, because you've been whining about how everyone was against
That's
us.
That's the worst
slogan
I've ever heard. Have Thanks, another Rick. Piece of pizza, That's, Eric.
Every time you come up
Have
with
another
a,
donut.
With a PFW cover or a season slogan, Fred shoots you down.
Well, not all the time. If it's good, I let it go. Anyway,
Brady will be fine.
Eric's here. Andy, Paul, Fred, 2G is in the booth.
2G?
That's my new name from 2G.
It's like a Star Wars character.
Yeah. And we're here taking your emails, webradio at patriots.com.
Fred, my
Phone
son.
Phone number is 508-543-7482. Your son.
Sorry about that. My son took in Star Wars for the first time.
How do you like it?
He really likes it a lot.
Number one,
Will?
The first one, good
yeah.
for him.
Now, is it which one does he lose a hand?
That's in the first one.
There are a few things.
I slept
that
over
that
at a friend's house when I was older than Will,
yeah.
and we watched that, and I was pooping myself.
There,
I was scared.
There are a couple of things that
that's the second
he's
one,
kind of freaked out about.
He lost Empire his hand in the back. Second one. Yeah. Oh, okay, you're right. You're
well,
right.
He got the whole. He got the trilogy. The first, you know. Well.
Oh, good.
What are they? I don't know. They're the first three,
good
right?
For you. That's a good father getting his kid on Star Wars. That's well, that
sure
is a good father.
Loser. First three. No. You mean the first three that came out in the 70s, which are actually 4, 5, and 6.
That's true.
Right. That's why I said.
How many seconds it took?
I don't speak geek, so I don't know exactly how it goes.
Oh, hey, Paul.
That's good. All right, guys. We need to talk about the Patriots here right off the bat. Josh McDaniels has been announced yesterday as the head coach of the Denver Broncos.
Good for him.
Word is that Dom Capers may be leaving, although there's some conflicting reports there, because Mike Nolan has also talked about going in there as the defensive coordinator.
He is going to be the defensive coordinator, and Josh said he had not spoken with Capers, who was under contract with the Patriots, but the Globe did report that the Patriots do not expect Dom Capers or Brad Sealy back. So my guess is Dom Capers is going somewhere, even if it's not Denver, to work with Josh McDaniels.
And that clapping that you heard from Paul was not, you know, delight that McDaniels left the building. It was more just congratulations for him because he's a good guy. We like Josh a lot.
He was one of the few members of the coaching staff that really, really went out of his way to help us, to, you know, kind of give us the little extra if we needed it. Andy sat down, did a story with him. I sat down before training camp in 07, did a story with him. Just a really good guy, and Andy's been saying it all along, a kind of a guy that seemed to have been destined to be where he is today as a head coach, and I'm happy for him for that opportunity.
Yeah. He's like a mini Bill in a lot of ways.
He's a smile. He's Belichick, as he put it, with a smile.
In all seriousness, you know, I know I started off the show saying I'm optimistic and I'm happy. It is a loss. I'm sad to see him go for selfish reasons. I want him to stay because I think he's good. I really think he's good at being an offensive coordinator. And I think his relationship with the quarterbacks, both Brady and Castle, I think helped this team.
And let's not diminish that. You know, Brady's a guy who's been very open when guys he's close with leave, whether it's Charlie Weiss, they were very close, Deion Branch, his receiver, who he was very close with, now McDaniels, who he's been close with he's been the quarterback's coach since 03?
At least 3 years, yeah.
04, no, I believe.
So 5 years he's been his quarterback's coach.
At
been
least
around
5 years.
Been his sounding board. So that's another little wrinkle to throw in here as Brady comes back from a major injury, is that the guy he's leaned on heavily for the better part of his career now, the last half of his career, is not going to be here. He's going to be elsewhere. So.
Yeah. Now, you know, Brady's a big boy. He's not going to collapse because of it, but it's just, you know, I talked about the continuity. Wouldn't it be nice to just keep things the way they are for another year? And I guess it's inevitable in the NFL that these guys that are good are going to rise to the top quickly,
and it could be the worst year. I mean, they obviously had the Crennel Weiss departure simultaneously, but Pioli is still up in the air negotiating, talking, intensifying whatever's going on with the Chiefs. If he goes, you lose your offensive coordinator, you lose your special teams coordinator, and a defensive coach in the secondary, which was the weakness of your team.
I think
anything
less
but continuity.
You know, look, this is not to diminish the contribution that Scott Pioli has done for this team, but what he has set up there and what Belichick has set up there is a system. It's less an interaction with players and coaching and all that. It's a business system. It's a way of doing things and a way of scouting.
And it happens in the off season at a slower pace.
And so I think that him leaving, even at this time of the year, you know, we're just a few months away from the draft, I think you can transition and still keep that system and not lose too much, you know.
And let's face it.
Because the system is in place. And thank you, Scott Pioli, for that.
I agree with
that.
By
the way.
And at this point in the season, they wouldn't really be focusing normally, if they were in the playoffs, they wouldn't be focusing on free agency or the draft because they'd be worried about their games that would be coming up usually. Mm-hmm. So this gives them a little bit of extra time to start preparing for that, for the offseason, for free agency, for the draft. Gives them a little more time to start preparing for those guys who are still going to be here, assuming Pioli does leave. And it gives them time to find the person who's going to take his spot if he does leave. So if there's ever a time for this to happen, I think now is a good time for it because they have the time to do the extra work that they need to do.
Right.
Whereas if they were in the playoffs, they wouldn't really have that time, and then he might leave.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. So we don't know what Scott Pioli is going to do. It's been very quiet out of Kansas City, unlike Cleveland, where you get five stories. You don't get any story out of Kansas City, which kind of tells me – five conflicting stories, by the way, which kind of tells me that, you know, they must be still talking. Otherwise, Kansas City would have said something like, you know, now we're talking with so-and-so. They must – because –
well, not necessarily. If they're
well, no other name has popped up.
But if they're conducting the whole process in a quiet, behind-closed-doors manners, they could say at 4 o'clock today we're announcing that – some guy is our new GM, and you would never know about it necessarily, right? I mean, they've been quiet with Pioli. There's one other name that
Dominic is his last name. I think it's Mark Dominic.
Sure. But other than that, and even that was just kind of a throw-in name that's been a little bit there. But if they're really conducting themselves in this manner, couldn't they just announce it?
I suppose, but I think
– I agree with you, Fred.
I think it'd be very hard, not from Kansas City's point, but even from the other side, wherever this other person's coming from, for something not to have gotten out by now. I think the fact that we haven't heard anything means these two parties are probably talking, like you said, quietly. And, you know, from what we hear, getting pretty close. It's just.
But how long do you wait if you're Kansas City? I mean, because you're going to have to probably fire your coach and find a new coach. So you're starting another process, unless, I mean, when Pioli was rumored to Cleveland, it was rumored that Kirk Ferentz was his first choice and that was going to, boom, happen. Maybe that's a package deal you're getting, but don't you want to get the ball moving forward here?
Yeah, the reason, you know, and I understand, Andy, what your point is about how quiet they've been, and they have, but we do know that they're talking to Pioli. So I think if they had moved on from Pioli and went to someone else, I think we'd know that. We might not know the particulars of why they moved on from Pioli or, you know, where the breakdown occurred or anything like that, but I think we would know at least the...
I think so, too.
You know, just the surface of what exactly they're doing. I think that the point that you just brought up about the coach is probably why it's taken so long. You know, maybe Scott is a little bit unwilling to go in and be the, you know, the Grim Reaper. And, you know, especially in light of... Fred brought up all the conflicting stories in Cleveland, some of which said that he asked for too much. He wanted a lot of power and a lot of money and blah, 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 and all that went with it. Maybe now he's a little bit, you know, because of that, he's even more conscious of, I don't want to go in and just, you know, make these wholesale changes. Now, we talked about this a little off the air yesterday. I don't think it really matters what they do. If they get rid of Herm Edwards, it doesn't matter if it's 2 days before Scott Pioli is hired or 2 days after.
Yeah.
I think we all know why they're going to get rid of Herm Edwards if they do that.
I mean, you know, if I took over the Kansas City Chiefs, that'd be my first move. You know?
I think most people who would come in a new situation would want to do that, make their own stamp on the organization, bring their own people in.
I don't think he's that good a coach beyond that.
Yeah,
you know?
If I thought he was a good coach, I'd keep him. I don't think he's
a
great coach.
You know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front.
We should mention that we've all sort of assumed that if Scott Pioli goes to Kansas City, Nick Caserio would have a good chance of, maybe not in a title sense, being VP of player personnel, but assuming maybe the top role in that department.
Yep, that's the talk.
There's been
the talk.
A mention that Lerner has mentioned Caserio's name as a possibility for the GM of the Browns.
I just saw a reference to that. Wow, that would be a fast ascendancy.
Really?
So let's just keep that in mind. I just saw it as like one-line reference, not a huge story or anything. But
I wonder, though. You know, I wonder if sometimes, you know, a team will throw that out there just to cause a little disruption in an opposing team's scouting department or personnel, whatever the case may be, you know, just to get it out there, just to get the other guy thinking, you know?
Has there been no movement on that Kokinis guy because his team is still playing?
Yeah, I assume, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
So, you know, we'll see. Maybe during the show we'll get some news. I don't know. But I would tend to think, like, as Andy said, they're going to want to do something this week. Either do it or get off the pot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you got a season to get ready for.
Especially since there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different scenario where, say, Pioli was still in the playoffs and you had to wait because of whatever. He's not in the playoffs. You want him either or get off the pot, as you said. If it's not going to work, then we need to move on here. There's no reason to wait.
Right.
ESPN, can I give you I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say ESPN had scrolled just up there that said that Rams, Lions, and Jets were close to naming new head coaches. That gave no more particulars than that.
That kind. Well, we didn't hear it either.
I'm just seeing what was on the screen.
We didn't hear kind of along those lines, and I wanted to get your opinion. I had a buddy of mine that's a big Jets fan, lives in Long Island, and he was asking me who I would rather have, Rex Ryan or Spagnuolo. What do you guys think?
Rex Ryan.
Spagnuolo.
I'd probably go with Spagnuolo at this point.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards Spagnuolo, but pretty even. I like them both. I think they're both pretty good. And the one thing that I feel like that Rex Ryan has had more talent to work with over the years, and that might – I don't know if that's fair or not to him, but I guess, you know how we said with Arizona, I'm swayed by the one thing that we saw. I think with Spagnuolo, what I saw in the Super Bowl was one of the most amazing coaching jobs in an individual game that I've seen. And maybe I'm putting too much stock into that. Maybe he's not that good. Maybe he just had a great game that
Monday.
Well,
they had a great game, and they also had a pretty decent season up until, you know, this last game.
Yeah, defensively, I mean, this is stupid because I know that it's not the common perception, but it's all about Plaxico now for the Giants. They really missed Plaxico. Of course they did. Of course they missed him. They lost a big part of their offense, a big deep threat. But I really think that what Paul Domowicz wrote in our paper about a month ago is more pressing.
They're tired.
They look tired. The defensive line looked tired. And when you think about all of the personnel losses they had from last year to this year in that area, they weren't able to rotate the way they were. Last year, that was a big part of their Super Bowl success was they never got tired. The Patriots went no huddle. They didn't get tired.
Yep.
They kept rotating fresh bodies in and out of there. It didn't matter what the Patriots did. The Giants brought pressure from the first quarter to the fourth quarter right down to the very last possession. And I think that they had a harder time doing that this year. Do you know they did not sack Donovan McNabb in any of the three games that they played against the Eagles?
Is that right?
You know, they had 48 sacks in the other whatever many games, you know.
Interesting.
14 games.
All right, so personnel movement is on the table, talking about that. Also, we want to talk about the playoff games that happened over the weekend. And yeah, I'm rooting for Arizona to go all the way.
Me too, Fred.
Absolutely. They've done the least harm to the Patriots, whether verbally or physically. So they're the least ones on my hate list.
Right.
That's how
you're looking at it.
That's how I judge who I'm going to root for.
I cannot possibly root for a team that performed the way it did at this stadium.
Well,
I just want to see a different team. I don't want to see the Steelers win it again because they have plenty
Steelers
of trophies.
Steelers a loudmouth. They've said bad things about the Patriots in the past. I can't root for them. I can't root for Baltimore. They said some bad things this year after the Patriots got knocked out of the playoffs. I can't root for them.
What about Philly?
And in Philly.
What did they say this year? Did I miss that?
Baltimore?
Yeah.
After the Patriots got knocked out of the playoffs, you know, we're happy to see them go after last year.
Right.
So it was good to see them.
They did some talking after New England got pumped.
So I
hate Baltimore.
So I don't want Baltimore to win. And Philly, Asante Samuel, I can't root for him.
Wow.
So
Now that's the best reason of them all.
Yeah.
Don't root for the guy who played hard for you for 5 years and was a big part of your success.
And dropped the interception that would have given us the Super Bowl and on the day of pictures said,
so I guess
you know,
you're not rooting for Brandon Merriweather
it's,
either.
It's all look at the free agent class of 2008.
Is that right?
He was running around saying
is that right?
On the team picture day.
True or false?
True.
Are you not rooting for Brandon Merriweather? He dropped an interception that would have clinched the
Super
Bowl.
He's still on the team.
Yeah, I know. God bless you. God bless you, Fred Kirsch, for your honesty.
Absolutely. But Samuel, he can rot.
I'm rooting against Philadelphia, however.
Yeah,
I'm
rooting
with you
against
on that.
Them.
I don't like the
I don't want them to win.
I don't like Donovan McNabb.
Although, of the three that I just mentioned, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or Philly, I'd rather have Philly win of those three.
So you want the NFC
not
to win
me.
Super Bowl.
See, I always root for the AFC because the Patriots are an AFC team. I always want the AFC to win.
Boy, that's going to be hard, though.
I would be rooting for Pittsburgh. I hate Baltimore. I kind of like Roethlisberger, as you guys all know. I don't want to infringe on Andy Hart's territory here as the resident Steelers suck
you
up.
You might root for the Steelers, but will you be wearing a Steelers jersey on?
I will not be. No. I will not be. Matter of fact, maybe I'll put a Drew shirt on and go old school. What do you think?
Bring back memories of that 7-6 game.
It'll be Will's birthday party again, so I actually get to celebrate Will's birthday on or near the birth date itself, which is awesome.
Mendenhall
nice.
Is ridiculous.
What's the date?
Arizona the 4th. Arizona, Andy and I had a brief discussion about this, and we did some research. I want to open this up to our listeners. If Arizona beats Philadelphia next week, which is a very legitimate possibility, they are at home. In the NFC
title game. The way they're
playing
defense, it is a chance. Yeah.
Would the Arizona Cardinals be the single worst Super Bowl participant ever? That's the question I have open to the
your cousin stunk.
To strippers and to TG and NJ and Dan and who else?
All
James, our enormous cast of characters over in the UK, everybody. Christy in DC, who's the one who called me a fat ass last week?
Amelia.
Her too. Amelia, everybody.
Three genders, girl.
I want to know, is this the worst Super Bowl team ever if the Arizona Cardinals were to beat the Philadelphia Eagles? My answer right now is yes.
Okay.
I think it
certainly
is.
Without Steven Spock, who...
That's oh, yeah.
Big loss. Cardinals,
I do feel bad for him because it was such
a
good story.
He was contributing.
He was a starter.
Yeah. They had, all of a sudden, not only they signed him off the street, they were making him a part of the offense, and they were, drawing up plays for him, which... I'm not sure I agree with wholeheartedly, but
I just think it'd be nice for the NFL to have a different team win. And Arizona, they've been such a lousy moribund franchise for all these years. It would be good for them.
It is a great story if they were to win it. But
you know,
I'm with you.
It's a terrible story when a terrible team that laid down a month earlier wins.
But it's another example of how bad this league has been.
It's been that kind of year.
It's not any different than any other year.
Worthy of being a Super Bowl champion.
That's because you said that on draft day when they took Mendenhall. If you hadn't said that, you wouldn't be thinking that.
No.
Why aren't they worthy? They won the games.
They suck. They're a bunch of – I said –
But really, the abnormality was last year.
On Thanksgiving that he didn't feel like playing that night because he had turkey in his belly and was just kind of going through the motions. I'm sorry. I cannot root for people that's the way they approach the game. What is this, a hobby, or are they trying to win?
Obviously, they've changed their ways because they are a different
obviously
team.
Obviously, they've been fortunate.
They're a different team than we saw in Foxborough.
And, I think the most valuable player is the team nutrition.
And I forget who wrote it today.
Obviously, changed up the pregame meal.
Somebody wrote today that was the game in Foxborough that woke them up.
Right.
That,
and, yeah, until they get blown out this weekend. I hope they do.
They won't.
So you don't like – who do you want? You want Pittsburgh.
Of course he does.
I'd like Pittsburgh-Philadelphia to be the Super Bowl.
Guy's a Pittsburgh jersey. Who do you think
that would be good?
That would be great. The Island Spectre Bowl.
Yeah. Well, the Ed Rendell Bowl. He already came out and said, I got to root for Philly. I know it's going to hurt me, you know, but I can't be – I have to be true to my team.
But, I mean, I want to –
He's looking ahead. That means they're going to lose.
Arizona Cardinals are not a Super Bowl team. I'm sorry.
Well, I kind of do. I kind of feel like
to
that,
spite
too.
You.
It would be a great story if they would somehow win, but – I think last year was the abnormality when you had the Patriots being, you know, the dominant team that displayed the fact that they were the superior team in the league from start to finish. Now, obviously, they didn't complete the journey and all that. We don't have to revisit that. But most often, it's just a bunch of good teams that play, and the one that gets the breaks in the play. Look at Baltimore.
Yeah,
Baltimore got the snot kicked out of them for 60 minutes against Tennessee.
I know. Tennessee.
They won.
Yep.
They could win the Super Bowl, and you just saw them get absolutely dominated for 60 minutes in a playoff game, and they won. That, to me, stinks.
Well, you gotta execute. I mean, down at the end, Tennessee made mistakes, you know? They left points on the table time and again.
When we went to the Combine last year, Andy, we came away very impressed with both Ken Wisenhunt and Rod Graves, the coach and GM, respectively, of the Cardinals.
It was pre-colonoscopy, so I'll take your word for it.
We both liked what
Rod
they had
Graves.
To say.
He blew me off in the offseason.
Oh, did he? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, we liked Wisenhunt very much when we were at the Combine last year. And we both said, you know what? We like what he's saying. We like what he's doing over there. And look, a year later, he's got his team in the NFC Championship game. That's reason enough to try to root for them.
And I also like the fact that all of a sudden the Arizona fans are on
showing
board.
Up.
They sold out that game in about 10 minutes.
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
So they weren't even willing to commit to their team the first game, but, oh, they might go to the Super Bowl.
Well, look,
I'll buy tickets fast now.
Better late than never.
Frauds in the desert. The team, the fans, everyone, they're frauds.
Wow.
They're a mirage in the desert of Arizona.
They avoided a blackout in the first preseason, the first postseason game by the skin
hands?
Of their teeth.
That's right.
They had to extend the deadline.
I know
actually.
They did. I know they did.
They had a John McCain moment.
I
you see him with the hands?
Blown the
He's passionate
out.
About this. That's why I wanted to get into it.
Well, the more I think about it, the more passionate I get.
I like that, though. I'm usually
that.
The only one that's yelling.
All the more reason to root for Arizona.
You want Monty Beisel to win
a
Super Bowl? Monty Beisel, he's a PR guy himself.
His head will explode.
Yeah.
Of course, that could...
Why would you want Monty Beisel to win a Super Bowl?
I don't care about Monty Beisel. He doesn't register on my hate list.
That's total bull.
I pity him. I don't hate him.
Now, who exactly are you rooting for?
I hate Joey Porter. What?
He plays for the Dolphins.
I
that's
know.
What
I'm
kind of getting.
Can
I get
a what? An example of someone I don't like.
But, like, who do you hate on the Steelers now?
Or the whole team. The organization from the ground up.
Worthless hot dog.
You hate Rooney.
I don't hate him, but...
Hate's such a strong
look,
word.
Look, he won the game in a... He won the team in a card game.
Okay. So you're going to hold that against him for how long?
And then he, you know, makes demands to these other owners that are really risking something. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that they talk so much. And I know, you know, Joey Porter
but
was part of that.
Do they talk that much now?
No, they're not. They have...
I think
they
toned it down some.
Look, they are better... than they were.
Do you hate Hines Ward?
I don't like him very much. No.
Until he signs with the Patriots.
Like no, I don't like
Because to me,
him.
He's the prototypical, Eric, of the Patriots fans would say he is better than Jerry Rice as the greatest receiver that ever played the game when you take into account his blocking and his catches and his clutch play.
Would you take him, Fred, if he were...
If I'm going to be objective,
well,
he's
you're
the
not,
Rodney
so.
Harrison of wide receivers. But
you hate him if he's on another team. You
exactly.
love him if he's on your team.
Right, exactly. You know? So,
but we know you're not objective.
But he's not on our team, and I hate him.
I think Hines Ward is a physical player. I don't necessarily think he's dirty.
I think he looks for an occasional hit that is dirty. He looks for his opportunities.
He likes
like,
the crack back block.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like Hines Wood.
Yeah. I don't like him.
The player.
I don't
the
like,
player I'm talking
else?
About. The
I don't
person
like,
by
the
all
person.
Accounts.
I'm not crazy about the city. the stadium.
That never stupid been to beer in a metal bottle.
Yeah.
Never
been
there. You know. Yeah, Hines Ward.
Fred's a mustard guy.
Andrew Mellon. I'm not big on him.
Who the hell is Andrew
I don't even
Mellon?
Know
if
Andrew
you're from
Mellon
Pittsburgh,
is.
You'd know who Andrew Mellon
is. That Mellon
is.
Bank?
Carnegie Mellon University?
Right.
Mellon Bank?
Yeah. He was a big guy during the Depression that, you know, one of those big industrialists.
One of those robber barons.
But he was actually a great philanthropist.
Good
well,
word.
So I have to admit. Take care
like
of that.
Man. See, okay. Once again,
so, what?
You look as if you know, I can't believe that he would come up with a term like that.
It's not that I couldn't believe it. I was surprised by hearing you use
I
it.
I have
that's all.
No formal artistic training.
It wasn't meant as a
what
as
word
a slam.
Say,
you
know,
I robber said baron. One of those robber barons.
Robber baron. Very good.
It wasn't, and it wasn't ball. Meant as a disparaging comment, Paul.
Yes, it was.
It absolutely was not meant to be that.
It absolutely was.
Eric, you're very condescending.
You are. See, even Fred admits it.
You don't realize it, but you
I
are.
Don't realize it, but yes. I don't mean it Fred. To be that way.
Fred would never take my
But you're working on it. You're getting better.
I am, and I'm trying.
You're getting better.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The scroll that comes up on ESPN, you know, you used to seeing, so-and-so from Florida State has decided to forego his senior year or whatever and enter the draft. Well, there's one going on, Myron Roll. You know who Myron Roll is, Fred?
No.
Cousin of Samari? Or
he's the guy who...
I know Myron Cope. He's the voice of the Steelers for many years.
Yeah, where is he now? Anyway.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He is the Rhodes Scholar from Florida
Oh, that's
State.
The guy that was offered the Rhodes Scholarship,
yes.
Right.
Yes, and he is foregoing entry to the NFL draft in order to pursue his Rhodes Scholarship.
Good for him.
That's a great crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never see that.
Yep. Especially from a Florida State guy.
Yeah. All right, so we've established...
Of course, there's numerous Boston College football players that they would lead you to believe that... passing up their fifth year of eligibility so they could pursue their Rhodes scholarships.
Right.
Tongue firmly in
cheek. BC is a higher level of learning than
right. They're the only school that has academic standards, you know?
Yeah.
You know.
It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, Duke, Stanford, Northwestern,
I'll tell
and
you,
them.
I'll tell you, you know, when BC announced that Lynn Meter, what's his name?
John
Meter Perel was going to be the voice, everyone laughed at that, but they got their money's worth. Because he is their voice of the radio.
It was a brilliant move.
It was a great move for them. It was a great move. Because he sticks up for them every time.
No, I know he does, but does it really matter?
Yeah, it does. If you're BC in this town.
People started going to games more because.
It's better than not talking about them at all.
That's right.
I guess, but I think it's minor. They're still an afterthought.
But even if it's minor, what did they lose?
Right.
Getting a good play-by-play guy?
Oh, no. What's the difference?
What is the difference? I think it was a good move by them.
It's a play-by-play. I mean, no offense. I mean, I know that John, John was the play-by-play guy that got edged out, John Rook. And he's far superior.
He's a professional.
He's a professional play-by-play man who did a much better job than me.
Meter Perel makes this show look professional.
But he doesn't have the morning show.
Right.
I'm a pansy. I admit it.
You know, it's called log rolling. So it worked out for them. Anyway, that's an aside. All right. I do want to read this email from Brian from Brighton, who was nice enough to get us our lunch.
Great spread, by the way. I may vomit today. I may eat myself till I puke.
He says it's like a Roman orgy here. I hope you enjoy the lunch. I felt the need to get Papa Gino since you used to always get that when I started listening to the show. I never understood why they didn't just give you lunch for the free advertising.
I agree.
It's a good question. Sorry for the topics I brought up during the previous show. After getting blown up, I was thinking how it was a good thing that Paul and Dan stepped in and ended the conversation before it got out of hand. I would just like to finish the conversation with the necessary Seinfeld comment, not that there's anything wrong with that. And hey, give Two Genders some credit. He finally stepped up in producing the show and looked out for you guys. Let's make sure the show doesn't get taken off the air anytime soon. This is Brian from Brighton, formerly from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Thanks, Brian.
And he has some things I'm not supposed to read on the air, so I won't read them. What is it?
You almost did, didn't you?
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a ton of emails. We'll get back to them. We'll get to them when we come back.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, Try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Did I ever tell you the story I had with Cordell Stewart? We were in Pittsburgh. It was before a Pittsburgh game. That Saturday night or Friday night, he had been supposedly caught in a park with another man.
Yes.
The police rousted him out of the bushes. So the next day, on Sunday morning, I'm on BCN. I go, look, let's just leave Cordell Stewart out of this. Of course, what do? They ask me about Cordell Stewart.
Yeah.
So I said, well, look, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but all I know is that DeMonte Dawson asked to go from the shotgun all day.
He didn't want to talk about it, but
then
when they bring it up,
DeMonte Dawson,
he prepared a joke.
Then he has to explain it.
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress.
And I'm condescending. He has to explain who DeMonte Dawson is.
Yes, you are condescending.
You knew, Eric?
Of course, Fred. Come on.
Okay. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address.
Yeah,
WebRadio at Patriots.com.
Or anything.
You'd think
508-543-7482. 508-543-7482.
Are we going to speculate some more?
Wait a minute.
Got to read some emails, don't we?
Did you just say 3748?
No, 543-7482.
You just said 3748. Have Dan play it back later.
Did I really?
I'll guarantee
Well, just
it.
In case somebody's calling Papa Gino's. Now, I don't know what number that goes to, but it's 508
or you're home
543-7482.
Imagine that. Some old woman gets a crank call. Yeah, I want to talk to Fred and the guys. Who is this?
Yeah, can I talk to Jake Steele?
Oh, you got to go to Patriots.com for that. They all know us. We're
probably
big,
not.
You know. All right.
Let's getting speculate. Bigger every day.
Let's speculate about
long.
What?
Everything. Who's going to be the new offensive coordinator?
Oh, by the way.
Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien. Do yourself a treat, okay? If you want to do something. I know we all have, you know, we do other things for other people all the time. But do something for yourself. Get yourself a nice pair of cashmere socks.
Oh, dear God.
That's there's nothing better. Let me tell you something.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about, and you stopped so we could talk about cashmere socks.
I wanted to speculate on the offensive coordinator. God forbid. I didn't know there was sock talk.
Just quickly. That's all I'm going to say. Just get yourself – want to do something nice for yourself, get yourself a pair of cashmere
sweaty
socks.
Now,
it is a treat.
Let me speculate for a second,
sweaty
Andy.
Feet. They'll stink.
Let me speculate for a second. Do you wear those suede socks with your sandals?
Suede?
Or whatever you said.
Cashmere.
With your sandals?
Suede. I'm wearing leather socks. That may be something you do in your medieval time, but
I like how you went from one direction to another one.
Isn't cashmere what scarves are made out of?
So sweaters. Yeah, it's a very soft material, but it's
a great material.
Very comfortable.
Yeah. Feels like it would be sweaty.
For socks.
Have you worn them with the sandals? Because you
no.
You love wearing socks
no.
and sandals.
No,
you
strictly, he's strictly a white tube socks guy with the sandals.
Black tubes. Black socks with the sandals.
That's much better.
All right. Anyway, you want to speculate, Andy. I just want to
throw that out there.
I turned you guys onto some good things.
We're not wearing socks.
Shaving cream, the
butter or whatever it's called, is by far the best thing you've ever.
Okay, if you like that, you'll love cashmere socks. Anyway, go.
I don't think
talk
I use
football.
That right.
Well, what are they? $50 a pair?
What?
Cashmere's not cheap.
No, that's why I said get a get a pair of cashmere socks. I'm not saying. You know,
now how do you wear them?
I have three pairs.
You have three.
Well, I got them for Christmas.
And
Fred gets the triple pack.
I got them for Christmas. They're very good.
From who?
I can't wait till I reach that point where I'm going to be saying, you know what I want
company?
For Christmas? I
Garnet
have everything.
Hill.
Give me some cashmere socks. Okay. What do you wear them for?
I wear them to work. They're
like so. You wear them on today.
They're really comfortable. I don't have them on today. I don't want to overdo it.
What?
You can get. You know, you get spoiled. You got to keep yourself grounded. You know? The hell are you laughing at, 2G?
The hyena in the other room. All right, can we get back to Andy's
all right, you
question?
Want to speculate.
He's silent
who's,
laughing.
I just
he's
want to talk
so
about Bill
hard.
Who's the next offensive coordinator?
Bill O'Brien.
I think that by...
We all think Bill O'Brien, but I mean,
I think
he certainly
name,
is
no
not
one.
A logical candidate.
Yeah, I think in name, no
he's
one's
been a position coach
title.
For 1 year on the greatest offense that ever lived.
Andy, they won't have an offensive coordinator in what?
He was not a position coach last year. He's
well,
been a
right.
wide receivers
that's
coach for one season.
Right.
And their production went down.
But, so he'll do what McDaniels
but
did.
But here's the thing. You know,
Randy Moss fell off the planet.
A lot of people, look, a lot of people.
I'm just kidding. I love him.
Let's be reasonable here. Let's remember who we're dealing with here. I know Belichick got criticized by not having a plan if Brady went down. But they've known for a while that Josh McDaniels is a hot commodity.
Right.
You know, he didn't
they've
do
known
it
for
last
at least a year.
So I think that they've expected that he would be gone soon, if not this year, next year. So I would imagine they've got something in place, you know, to take that over.
It looks a lot like to me, anyway, when
this
McDaniels
didn't come out of the blue.
When McDaniels was QB coach and then sort of assumed the responsibilities of the coordinator without actually having it. In a titular sense, as Andy would say.
Well, I wanted Andy to say it, man. You ruined
it. He'll say it again. Don't worry.
Titular.
And it makes sense. You know, it'll give him some time to grow into the job.
It's a refrigerated bra.
Titular.
What?
A refrigerated bra. It'll be a titular.
You hired him.
He's
twice.
A center.
Twice.
But McDaniels had been here since 2001.
He had.
And he took over the offensive
coordinator. A refrigerated bra is a cold hold.
Okay. That's good.
The
okay.
whole time, man.
Mine wasn't bad enough. That was
he
good.
Needed to come up with something worse. He was not listening to anything that whole time.
No, he
all
was thinking.
He was doing was trying was to come up with something better.
How about an ice chest breast?
Ice chest breast. Not bad.
Three gender from
bad.
Downtown.
I was trying to get to the word titular, not just what a refrigerated bra would be.
You're right. McDaniels had been here for longer, but what McDaniels didn't have was coordinating experience, and that's what Bill O'Brien does have. Yeah, granted,
but
it's on
the
college
system.
Level. Okay, fine. Point taken. But
you think calling plays for the Duke quarterback is the same as telling Randy Moss and Tom
no,
Brady
but
what
it's,
to do?
But it's experience in that type of role, which I'm sorry. I think
just
that,
so you
I
know,
think that
I'm
helps.
All for Bill O'Brien. I just don't think he's maybe the slam dunk or most obvious.
Oh, no.
I didn't say he was.
It's not an obvious
I'm
thing.
I'm just saying. That's,
I mean, Pete Mangurian has offensive coordinator experience and 17
sure.
years of NFL experience.
Right.
And as a tight ends coach, we've always heard that they know the most about the passing game and the running game because
their
players
involved in
are
both.
Involved intricately with both. So he has arguments to be made for him.
Absolutely.
Dan Reeves has already spoken outward about him and his candidacy. So I'm just saying there's
– Sure, there are options.
As much as we say, you know, he promotes from within, what do we always say? Don't pigeonhole Bill Belichick.
Of course not.
Because as soon as you say he does X, Y, and Z, he's doing W.
Right.
And maybe W is some candidate that we're not considering from somewhere. You know, I heard somebody on the radio, and I approve of this speculation because...
Oh, stamp of approval.
I think you should look at all. Pat Hill was his offensive line guy. Who's to say he doesn't say, Pat, you want to make the jumps to the pros? Come,
sure.
You know,
why not?
Stop dealing with all those issues you have to deal with at the lowly Fresno State with no money like the big boys. Come coach with us. Right? So, I mean... We always warn people, don't pigeonhole Bill.
Definitely could happen.
Nobody's pigeonholing him.
And I agree with that with Belichick. You can't paint him into a corner and say, well, this is what he does. Because there is nothing that he does all the time. He does whatever he thinks is best in that particular case-by-case scenario.
Whatever they do, they won't make a big thing about who the offensive coordinator is.
I think there's a reasonable chance they don't name one. Just like they did the last time.
I think that's the most likely scenario, but I don't want to just assume that's what they did last time, they'll do it again.
No, that's why I said there's a chance.
Somebody in Ask BFW brought up Rob Chudzinski.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I don't know.
And you know what? I don't know what his background
Romeo
is.
Romeo said he's good.
That's what I was going to get at. You have a good, a good reliable reference there for Bill to lean on. And I also think that Cleveland offense, it hasn't been bad. You know, I think he did a really good job last year. I mean, they won 10 games last year. People forget that. That's not an overly... You know, it's not Randy Moss and Tom Brady we're talking about. I mean, Braylon Edwards has had a really hard time catching the ball. I think he should be a very, very good wide receiver in this league, and he had a better year last year, certainly, than this year. I think that he has done some nice things. I don't know how similar the system is.
And he came from San Diego, right?
I believe that's accurate, yeah.
So he worked under Cam Cameron, who's an offensive genius, mastermind. At Miami,
he has a lot of different systems.
Coordinator from college. I take the guy from Miami over Duke, just so you know. No offense, Eric.
No, I'm not offended.
You know, he's used to dealing with elite athletes.
Well, to be fair, so is the guy from Duke. He's just playing against them all the
time. That's a good point.
You could look at it that way. He did more with less by trying to figure out ways to turn bookworms like Eric into athletes.
Oh, these were actually bookworms,
all right.
Not pseudo-intellects.
Nothing pseudo about it, my friend.
And how about the front office? Are we just going to assume that if Peely leaves, Casera slides in? What if he goes? How about special teams? If he leaves, who's going to be the special teams coordinator?
I can coach special teams.
No, you couldn't.
You know, I was laughing today. I saw, and Mike wrote it, you know, Mike Reese, just in the Brad Seeley, profile, I just don't think that Steven Gostkowski's emergence as the all-pro kicker belongs there. I think, third in kick returns, that's Brad.
That's part of Brad Seeley.
I mean,
that's how you go to a guy's media guide bio.
Exactly.
And it says, oversaw the development of Ed Reed becoming one of the best safety. You're going to tell me if a different coach has been there, Ed Reed wouldn't have been good?
I don't have any problem with that.
You
got to
write
level.
Something in those things. I remember when Charlie Weiss was here, he coached the tight ends, so they gave him credit for Ben Coates. He coached the running back, so they gave him credit for Curtis Martin.
Right.
Then he coached the wide receivers, and they get him credit for Terry Glenn breaking the rookie record. I mean, he got credit for all those three things.
And nobody enjoyed that more than Charlie Weiss.
But my point is, the things that you would give, I would give Brad Seeley credit for coaching the Patriots special teams are Ellis Hobbs.
The return and the coverage.
The coverage units being among the top in the game for the most part over his tenure. It wouldn't be Chris Hansen and Steven Gostkowski.
Right. No, I understand.
I think kicking is a specialty that really is beyond coaching, if you know what I'm saying.
No, gotcha. I agree with you, Paul.
Although when he's out there, there's Seeley with him, critiquing and working with him.
And you also, I mean, it as much as Belichick always calls it organized chaos, there is a plan to it.
Yeah.
You know, when Hansen kicks the ball to the sideline, that's on purpose.
Right.
No.
Usually.
But I'm just saying, in training camp, when Gostkowski is kicking kick after kick after kick on the side field, there's Seeley right with him.
Yeah,
well,
of course, but he's telling him different. Yeah,
no, I know, but he does work with him.
But for all you know, he's like,
good.
What are you going to do for dinner later?
No, you want to get chicken parm? They go over technique.
See, I don't think that's what they're
going think
over.
They do.
I think that they're going over their plans. It's I want you to work on this kind of kickoff, that kind of kickoff, this kind of punt.
No, I'm talking about kick field goals.
No, I know what you're saying. It's entirely possible that, they've – Seeley has studied the film of him kicking, and they go over it together. And then when they're out on the field and he's kicking, he's saying, I'm seeing a thing that you're doing wrong.
He's got his stopwatch.
He does
have
a one-point whatever.
Right. You know, you're taking a little bit too much time on your takeoff or whatever. You know, he's giving him some stuff that he's seen. But as far as telling him how to kick the football, Steven knew how to do that when he got here.
Sure.
Hansen knew how to do that when he got here.
In other words, what I'm saying is I wouldn't think any less of Brad Seeley's special teams coaching if Gostkowski, missed 10 field goals this year. To me, that wouldn't be any indication whatsoever of the job that Brad Seeley did.
Okay. Right. Is he an elite special teams coach?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, to me, Bobby April is the standard bearer there, the guy in Buffalo that Bill spends his whole time talking about.
But maybe other coaches.
Frank Gant's not still around, is he?
No, but, you know, he was pretty
no,
good.
No, he's the one who ruined it
for
Brad
Sealy. He ruined
it
for all of them because he's the only special teams coach that got to be a head coach, and
then
he failed.
Went like 4-70 in three seasons.
Right.
Talk about pigeonholing. That's awful. You blame all the rest of the position coaches for one guy who couldn't get it done?
Absolutely.
Well, to be fair, now you would take Harbaugh and say, he's our guy. He was a special teams
right.
coach who only had 1 year, I believe, of non-special
teams
work.
Bill Belichick was a special teams coach at one time.
No, I'm just
but
talking
he didn't
about
go directly
jump
from head
no,
coach.
He
you didn't go directly from special teams
No, the
teams
big ones now
coach.
Are Mike Westhoff, you know, that guy with the Jets now. He was with Mike. Is that his name? Westhoff?
I think so. But Bobby April.
Bobby April.
Joe Azzavizzi, the guy from the Cowboys that used to run around the sideline.
I don't think he's even involved anymore.
No, he was with an AFL team.
Joe Avezzano.
No, no, no. He had to be with the AFL team. It was the Dallas one.
Right.
Jones made him coach it.
That's right.
Like what you do to us when you give us a new assignment.
On the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Anthony.
Is there an echo when I'm speaking to you?
Yes, there
yep.
is.
Not anymore. Oh, yes, it went yes. away.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Never mind. I just took it off. I had you on speaker. But anyways, hey, what's the story up there? Who's going to replace Josh?
Bill O'Brien
is. Talking about?
Bill O'Brien is the consensus pick from the PFW staff. Although
Bill
maybe,
O'Brien?
Maybe
will
not
no,
in a titular
there will be
sense.
No formal announcement, though.
See,
do not look for a formal announcement.
You think he's going to do the same thing as Josh did with his first year?
That's yep. what we think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have
yep.
no formal announcement.
I mean, there's
training.
No, it's nothing. It's not like, oh God, the offense needs to get better. We need to do something. There's no reason for any type of announcement. We assume that whatever they've been doing, they're going to continue to do.
Plus, we've talked about this a little bit, I think, off the air, Paul. Play calling. Cam Cameron, who's considered an offensive genius, said play calling is the most overrated aspect in football. And it's
who said that?
Cam Cameron. Who's considered an offensive genius, an offensive coordinator genius. And once you reach the game, the play calling is you have your little sheet that says 3rd and 7 or more,
right.
call one of these three plays. You know, it's all been all the scouting, all the game planning prepares you so that you, yeah, there's an art to it. Yeah, there's a feel and some setting up and things you do on first down a couple times. But O'Brien, with his experience, I think, is ready to be given that card on Sundays and say, here's what we need you to do, go call a game, even if he's not ready to, quote-unquote, coordinate the offense.
What was he doing last year? What was
wide receivers.
Wide receivers, coaching the wide receivers.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he's the one that put Randy Moss in the elite level then, huh?
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. But has Pioli been making his rounds, as in saying his goodbyes? Is
no.
it official yet?
No.
No.
Not at all.
He's
been... and we wouldn't expect that if
certainly not in the PFW area.
He wouldn't be coming by to see us before he
No, but he's been coming to work, and, you know, it's no information is available as to what's going on over there other than they are talking. So we don't know exactly what's happening between he and Kansas City.
Really, what's your gumption? What do you think's going to happen?
I think he's going to end up there.
I think so.
Yeah,
I do too. Now I've changed over the last 3 days. I thought for sure he was staying.
Yeah, well, I'm really disappointed about Josh. I think we can. Well, the Patriots can get by without Scott Pioli, to be honest with you, because we know it's all done and said through Bill. And I just feel like I think you're going to stretch out Bill a little bit more if you have Josh McDaniels out of there. That's just my feeling on it. Now.
Anthony.
Yes.
You were a fan back when Charlie Weiss and Romeo were here, right?
Listen, I know exactly where you're going down that road. I honestly thought, well, after Weiss, I was like, good Lord, what are we going to do?
Exactly.
But obviously Bill has a plan. My personal feeling was I was for sure. The only reason why I was for sure he wasn't going to leave because I thought what he did last year after, you know, going undefeated in the season and then Josh, like, declining to do any interviews, I thought, okay, that was good. He plans to stay around for a little bit. And I thought this year was just him practicing. I thought he was only doing the interviews to kind of practice for really when he was ready, maybe next year. I thought we had at least one more year.
Well, I was hoping the exact same thing,
you know,
Anthony.
What? Maybe he was. And maybe Bolin and that opportunity came along and didn't expect it. And
right.
He thought, well, you know what?
I might not get a better opportunity than this next year, so I might as well take it now.
That could be. Once he got there, they kind of made him an offer so he couldn't refuse.
I think what happened was he didn't want to do it last year in the middle of that season.
Well, that's what he said.
He didn't want to do
it. It was timing. All timing.
Didn't want to do anything to disrupt that perfect season, and he certainly wasn't going to be the guy who...
Pulled
if they lost,
genie.
You know, if they had lost, that people were going to point back to and say that was because McDaniels was taking those interviews during the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you could tell Bill really respected that too, based on the statement he gave yesterday.
Jeez, glowing
was.
Yep.
Now, do you guys really feel like he's put in a position to kind of win out in Denver?
Yes,
I think it's a good situation.
They were 8-8 last year.
Yeah. I mean, he is following a guy that you know is. Pretty good for that team, Mike Shanahan, one of the better coaches in the NFL. So those are big shoes to fill. Who was talking about it? Kyle Brady had some nice quotes that are in PFW, which is on newsstands today, about, you know, honestly, it is going to be tough.
Of course it is.
When he was in the locker room and he with the Patriots and he first saw him, he was like, this guy's got to be 25 years old because he's got a young, boyish face.
But every job is going to be tough because, I mean...
No, I know.
There's a reason. There's a job.
But when you go in, when you're a Bill Parcells or a Bill Belichick or one of these guys, it's instant credibility. He has to earn it.
Right.
He has to earn it. You know, it's no foregone conclusion that, you know, he's going to be a head coach, a good head coach.
Who's the GM there?
Well, they don't have
Goodman.
One, really.
They don't have one yet.
No, Jim Goodman.
Goodman, I believe.
Oh, that was their, yes. They have a guy... A lot like New York, Mike Tannenbaum, who kind of raised himself up from doing a lot of, you know, accounting type work to salary cap. He's like more of like a salary cap guru guy.
But he has final say.
You sure about that? I think he's more of a football guy than Mike Tannenbaum is.
Well, maybe, but that's the way that he was described as he came up through the ranks.
Because I read what Andy read. That he
Well,
had
I
final
read Josh
say.
Yesterday saying he has final say.
Right, no, that might be true, but he...
I think he's more of a football guy than
he came
than
about
think.
It the same way. That's He was a salary cap guy.
Yeah. So. I don't think it's really going to... Whether that organization, like, fails or succeeds, I don't think it's really going to be put on Josh. Well, granted, they all look at the head coach, but I think everybody's overlooking the defense, which was really their biggest problem. And I think it's Mike Nolan, if I'm not correct, the former San Francisco head coach. Now he's going to be the defensive coordinator. And I think they put him in that role because at least he has some head coaching experience, and maybe he could help guide Josh.
That's true. And also, Nolan was pretty good with Baltimore back when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that Nolan got the job because of the idea that they needed to fix the defense. They want an offensive head coach. We need a proven veteran defensive guy.
Same reason why we thought Capers would make sense to go with him.
Right. So. Yeah. So he'll have the support there.
But it's ultimately going to be Josh. I mean, let's face it. The defensive coordinator is not going to be held responsible if the defense isn't good. It's going to be Josh.
And nor will Goodman because he doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a presence.
I mean, a head coaching job in the NFL goes way, way beyond X and O's. And it's almost – those other things often become more important. You know,
Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he kept Rex Ryan. He hired Cam Cameron. And he's – I mean, he's an overseer. He did the right things. Whatever levers he's pulled have worked, but he's not drawing up game plans on both sides of the ball every week.
Whatever he did worked because you listen to those players talk about him, and you know, even guys like Ray Lewis, who haven't always been overly supportive of their coach. Even Billick, who was there for a long time, they took a lot of shots at him, and these guys really, really like playing for him.
And if you... One of the things you hear about Josh from internally is...
But they didn't win when they were saying those things. And you
he
go
knows
back to the
how
preseason
to meet
preview
people on their
one.
Level.
Josh does.
This guy, you know, don't tell me that dealing with Tom Brady and Randy Moss are the same, or that dealing with Randy Moss and Jabbar Gaffney are the same, or that to be dealing with... He has that talent of finding a common ground as a coach/teacher to a player.
And you look at the makeup of that team... The stars, you know, Brandon Marshall, Jay Cutler, they don't seem like the kind of guys that are going to be like, who are you? You know, we've got our way, and you're going to have to adapt to us rather than us adapting.
I don't know about Brandon Marshall with that.
Yeah.
He's a handful.
Yeah, I think they're both handfuls.
Yeah. I think Cutler has the potential to be a handful.
Well, yeah. When
Brandon Marshall has been in trouble. I mean,
he's been in trouble, but I don't know. Do you think he's disrespectful?
He's disruptive.
Well, he can be a little bit of a disruptive force. And when Shanahan was let go, Cutler publicly was dissatisfied with that move. And then Bolin had to go and and reach out to him and say, I'll keep you in the loop on things.
Coming out of Vanderbilt, Cutler used to say, I wasn't surrounded by a lot of talent for 4 years.
It's going to be very important for Josh to go in there and do what Kyle Brady said. When you brought up the Kyle Brady quote that Andy had in his story, he needs to get hold of that locker room and convince
grab
them.
Grab the Bronco by the horns.
Yeah, he needs to tell them right away.
I'd cut Cutler.
What I
that'll show him who's boss.
This is what I need to do, and this is what we have to do to succeed. I like the way I read a lot of his transcript from his press conference.
He was great,
phenomenal.
It was good. But here's the fear that if I'm Josh McDaniels, I would have. You know, we talked about this before. Is always look at the last situation that the owner had to kind of get a gauge of how he's going to be in the next situation. You know, he got rid of the GM a year ago because Shanahan wanted that to happen. Right. Now he got rid of Shanahan because things weren't working out. Does he keep his fingers in it just enough where players might be going up the back stairs to talk to Pat Bowlen when they're not happy? And, man, if that happens,
forget
it.
Well, let's not pretend he kicked Shanahan out quickly. He's been there 14 years.
I think you could argue.
He was in tears as he was fired.
Right, he was.
He's been fully supportive. When Shanahan wanted to go get Jake Plummer, they went and got Jake Plummer. When he wanted to go get Travis Henry, even though it wasn't maybe a great idea, they went and got Travis Henry.
That's right.
You have everything at your disposal to win.
But now what I'm saying is he did all those things because he was asked to do it. Now I'm going to get a little bit more my hand back in it. I'm not going to be just a yes man for my head coach.
You're talking about Bowlen?
Bowlen is what I'm talking about.
Well, that would be a problem. If that happens, that would be a problem. It'd be tough.
I don't think it will.
I think he's more of a hands-off guy. I think they needed to make this move with Shanahan. I think his time.
I thought they could have made it a few years ago, honestly.
I do, too.
I personally don't think as much of Shanahan as a lot of other people do. I don't think he's a bad coach by any means. I think he's a good NFL coach. But you can't get beyond the fact that he hasn't won squat without Elway.
Yep.
And I know that's disrespectful around here to say things like that. But
hey. Hello?
Yeah,
what's up?
Oh, okay. You know, well, I'll tell you one thing. When Shanahan got fired, I know there was one person that was extremely happy to see him go, and that was Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
You know what I mean? Because Shanahan's record, you have to admit, it's pretty good against Bill.
Yeah, for some odd reason.
And I was pretty happy to see him go,
too. It's not that odd.
What's that?
I mean, Denver's been pretty good. For the most part.
Denver's been pretty good, but if you think about it, like, why was he that good against Belichick compared to Belichick to everybody else? Why does Shanahan's scheme seem to work great against Bill?
Well, I think one thing that helps Shanahan is that he's a game plan guy like
Jake
Bill.
Jake Plummer at that.
Well, Jake Plummer was pretty good. I mean,
I know. I'm not.
How many times did Denver upset the Patriots under Shanahan? How many times did Shanahan upset Belichick?
What was it, a good 4 to 5 times, I think.
Upset?
Well.
I mean, who was favored in that playoff game in Denver?
Well,
in 05?
Listen, you're looking at it through my eyes. I feel like we're always favored.
Okay. Well said, Anthony. Sorry, Fred.
I'm pulling a Fred Kirsch.
Sorry, Fred.
Well, I mean,
that was funny.
When the Patriots beat Denver on that safety game, mm-hmm. Wasn't that the first time they'd won in Denver?
Denver
since
was supposed to win that game,
yeah. Or something
right?
Like
Denver
that?
Was supposed to win that game, and the Patriots won it.
That's right. And that, you know, you want to talk about, again, this is a little bit of a digression, but of all the wins that Belichick pulled out of his back pocket, that was the one. I don't know how they won.
You know
that
what
game.
Made that one so great? Because it wasn't just the safety; it was Delta O'Neal. It all comes back to Delta O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
It was Delta O'Neal misplaying the ensuing kick.
Right.
And having it go back to, like, the 15-yard line. On a free kick, you should get the ball at, like, the 35
right.
at the minimum.
Right.
And yet they ended up having to go back, like, way deep in their own territory, which makes mm-hmm. you very conservative trying to get that first down that you need to end the game. They didn't get it. They gave the Patriots great field position. And, you know what happens when you give Brady a couple of seconds and good field position? You lose.
Yeah. David Givens made a lot of money off that catch. That he never earned.
You're an idiot. He just can't help himself.
Can I ask one more thing, guys?
Yeah.
Forgive me, because I'm sure you're sick of talking about this, about the whole Matt Castle franchise tag. Do you think if Scott Pioli goes to Kansas City, that would be a possibility that he want to trade for Castle?
Yes,
sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then do you think it would be a bidding war between them and Minnesota and who would win out in the end?
I don't know who would.
Whoever
has more to offer.
My guess is not Kansas City, because knowing the Pioli Belichick way, I don't think
they
that
would
he would
set a line
overbid.
In the sand
right,
and
he would say he's worth a first and a fourth. And if it goes higher than that, he wouldn't do it.
That's interesting. If you were Pioli, and let's say Belichick, said,
"What are you laughing at?"
Paul Pierce and
something
Kevin Garnett
on TV.
TV.
Yeah.
Let's say that Belichick went to Scott Pioli and said, "Okay, Scott, you'll give us a first and a fourth for him." Sure, we'll take it. If you're Pioli, do you run back and say, "I'll get back to you, Bill. Hold on. Why is he taking it? What's going
on? Right.
What am I missing?
What's he know that I don't?"
Right.
Hey, I hate to sound like an EEI caller, but can you imagine getting the first round pick and then getting Anthony Gonzalez on a trade for Castle?
You mean
Tony
Gonzalez you're talking about?
Yeah, well, yes.
The tight end?
So they're giving us a first and Tony Gonzalez for Matt Castle.
And the first is the third pick in the draft?
That's like
top five
out,
anyway,
wait,
right?
Listen, I know how ridiculous that sounds. I don't want to, like I told you, I sound like an EEI caller.
No, I don't think ridiculous. No, because if the bidding is first and a third, and I mean, that third round pick is probably what Gonzalez would get. You
that's
maybe
what everybody
second.
Was willing to give him last year.
Right.
So
and how much is the, on the cap?
It's not all that ridiculous. And he might want out.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely, we know he wants out.
But
that's a rebuilding situation right there, or like at least a two-year project, I would say.
Well, it depends how good all the young players they have from this year are.
By including Gonzalez, Pioli might be able to get a draft pick back.
Right,
maybe. You know?
Or Anthony, not Watson. So ridiculous. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
I know
when you're ridiculous.
We'll mock you when we need to.
I know. I just, like, listen, I've been listening to EEI now a lot on online. And let me tell you, Paul, you're a better human being than I would be because some of the calls that you get on there, it's ridiculous.
Oh, the callers?
Some of the calls.
Andy and Eric disagree with your assessment of my ability to be a human being.
And also, Paul gets paid very well to be a nice human being on that show.
I don't get paid that well, my friend.
Oh, you get a lot of money for
my
that
friend.
Show.
My friend.
McCain all of a sudden. He's throwing McCain on my ass.
Looks like him.
Paul, I just have to reference that caller that said, you know, is Pioli's Pioli's married to Bill Parcells' daughter, isn't he? That makes him a true football guy. Do you remember that caller?
Yeah.
That guy was a moron. That's what I mean by that typical
caller. Because you meet somebody at like age 25 and she's in a football family, it makes him a true football guy.
Yes, that's why I say you're a better human being, because if that was me, I would have really laid it out on the guy.
Such an idiot.
Well,
yes, exactly.
All right, Anthony. Anthony from Naples.
Hope he's
checking
got
in.
Minutes. He's been on for like a half hour.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Hey, last show we were talking about that San Diego Superchargers theme song. Andy likes it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Greg in San Diego says, "I heard your comments on the Chargers theme song on Thursday's podcast, and I have to respectfully disagree. Take it from a Pats fan living in San Diego. There is nothing that will make you look over your shoulder to look for Eric that more than a bunch of guys dancing around a bar singing San Diego Superchargers. The more you see it, the gayer it is." That's Greg in San Diego.
It's a good song. I'm sorry.
It is.
How many other teams have a song? That's their own. The Redskins have one.
I don't know.
Right?
Dolphins?
Now they stole it from the Oilers.
I don't get caught up in songs. Plus, the Oilers don't exist anymore.
Yeah, but it's their song.
You just get caught up in scooters.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I like to be entertained in between plays at a football game.
Lou Holtz. Remember Lou Holtz tried to have the Jets? He wrote his own Jets song when the one year that he was the Jets coach in 76.
I didn't even know that, but another reason why he's my favorite. I know the theory is as long as Bill's here, you're fine. You lost Weiss and Crennel, and what happened then? Well, he stopped winning Super Bowls, but anyway, an aside.
Playing the role of Paul Perillo is Andy Hart.
But if you look at the grand scheme of this offseason, we've all said it's a very important offseason, correct? Because you have to make, beyond all this, you have to make a decision with Castle and go through those waters in the correct way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to retool on defense in the secondary, do some things,
do some things.
You have some guys coming into the end of their contracts named Seymour and Wilfork.
Mm-hmm.
Key decisions, money, a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a defense that wasn't very good, and we all thought, well, maybe Bill has to do more on defense. Well, now he has to do more on offense, and he has to do more behind the scenes picking the talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a point where he gets
spread too thin.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and
is it not the same thing when, you know, McDaniels was good. He was ready, so he filled in for Weiss. Well, okay, we can assume that again, but what if he isn't? Or what if Pease isn't capable of running this defense? What if what was happening last year gets worse? And what if
Nick Caserio isn't quite ready at the drop
what
of a hat.
Scott
to
is
call.
Better, that much right. better. That you know, right. acquiring you the individuals know. You don't know.
So if all of those things are kind of true, then Bill is just totally spread out. I know. I think there's a limit, no matter how great you are.
And that is a admittedly sky is falling worst case kind of scenario. But one of the things that Fred, you and Eric were talking about when I was stuffing my fat face early in the show. That it's better, you know, at least this year they're not in the playoffs, so they have time. Well, a couple of things I don't necessarily disagree with. I don't necessarily agree with. First, if they were in the playoffs, they probably wouldn't be losing the personnel at the rate that they are losing it, number one.
True.
And number two, the scouts in the personnel department would always be dealing with preparation for the combine right now. They wouldn't be dealing with the playoffs at all. This doesn't have anything to do with the scouting or personnel department.
Right.
They're already moved on to their phase of...
yeah, I didn't necessarily agree with Eric. I was just
the post-college pre-combine
cheap tent
portion of the offseason.
Well, but I would argue, Paul, that only one team has hired a coach so far. Isn't that correct?
It all depends on who you consider.
The Cleveland.
Like, do you consider like Seattle and Indianapolis?
No, I never considered them not having a coach because they already had a coach.
Indeed.
Denver.
Right, but I'm saying at this point, if New England were in the playoffs and still playing.
San Francisco. Yeah.
They had the coach in place already. They didn't have to go look for a coach. I'm talking about a team that actually needed a coach. The Broncos took one of our guys. Okay, yeah, fine. Maybe they would have waited till the end of the season to get McDaniels.
They might have.
So I'm contesting
saying,
your point that my original point wasn't true.
But you were talking about Scott Pioli, and they have more time to prepare for the draft now because they're not in the playoffs, whereas I was just saying this doesn't really have anything to do with that because – those people that are interested in the draft don't have anything to do with the playoffs. So you can go to the Super Bowl or you can not make the playoffs. It's the same for the personnel department. Their preparation and focus is on the combine right now.
But they have more time to defend Eric to deal – well, assuming Pioli makes a decision
Bill,
or
for Bill,
leaves.
Absolutely.
Bill has more
time. Absolutely.
They also, the scouts have more time to find out who their new boss is if they
sure.
get one and
it's
have five extra meetings that they would have to have the first week of February
there's
instead
no question.
Of the first
I would contend you're probably not losing them, though. You know, if you're in the second week of February for that reason.
Well, kind of agreed with Eric.
But so just to recap, he strongly
agreed
agree with
me,
Eric.
Disagreed.
He strongly
really
disagreed
with Eric.
Agrees
with
now
me
he
again.
Kind of agrees with Eric. And
where does that leave you, Paul?
He's Fred.
Quick
That's
side
why he's
note.
The MVP.
Has, what do you call him, Tugies?
Tugies.
Taking on a side job stuffing envelopes. What's he do? He's been stuffing envelopes throughout this entire show.
I think they're cover letters and resumes.
Why don't we get him to do the newsletter?
What are you doing in there, Tugie?
Three
season
gender.
Tickets going
Make
out?
Up.
What's this? I never saw Gary had to do this.
Uh-oh. Let's see. Kamadi writes in. He says,
Mickey never had me do this.
I'm so glad that college football's over with. Why? Because I don't have to hear about Tim Tebow until next season. I have never in my life heard so much hoopla over a player who will never start at the NFL level. The only two NFL-type throws he ever attempted got intercepted. The statements coming out of the mouths of those announcers during that championship
Thank
game
you.
Was just ridiculous.
I agree with him.
If you ever spend 5 minutes around
Thank
Tebow,
you.
Your life is much better.
That was
Screw
the
you,
stupidest thing ever said on TV.
Jerk-offs.
I agree. I agree with that in terms of the media wholeheartedly.
Embarrassing. He's the greatest leader in college football.
But you know what, though? I don't agree with he's not great because he's never going to play in the pros or never going to start in the pros.
He's a great college
player.
Right. Yeah.
Period. End of story.
Right.
He's one of the probably one of the 10 best college players of all time.
He's Gino Toretta.
No.
No.
Gino Toretta couldn't carry his helmet.
Two, Eric is such a slacker. He hasn't updated
bra.
His blog since August.
Well, I couldn't carry
a lot
his
of
girlfriend's
people couldn't
bra.
Do that.
Eric, is this true that you haven't updated your blog since August?
I haven't had time, Fred. I've been too focused on my day job break. Here with you and the Patriots.
Oh, what's your Christ day job?
What have you been doing, positional snapshots?
What happened to your web page redesign, and when is he going to start selling original work in the $500 to $600 range? He would get more sales that way. I'm not paying $600 for a Scalavino reproduction.
I'm not taking
get
your
real,
money,
dude.
So don't worry
You're
about
pricing
it.
Yourself out of a sale.
I have no formal artistic training.
And finally, in three, Tom Brady got engaged to that piece of ass, Giselle. You know what that means. No more Eye of the Tiger. The championship runs are over, and the defense still sucks.
Merry Christmas.
Wow. Eye of the Tiger?
Wow.
He thinks that once he gets married that he will
I disagree.
Lose his edge.
I think you lose your edge in the pursuit of the woman once you get
yeah.
married.
I think once
he has
married,
more time now for
refocus.
Football.
Right, right.
Right?
In theory.
Like when you first start going out with a girl, when you're always
Eric.
In this phase. No, but seriously, like when you're if there's a
you
girl,
might be in this phase.
If there's
someday.
A girl you think is really hot and you're like on the trail, isn't that
you're
when you're most preoccupied with it?
You're right.
Doing whatever it takes, whenever it takes, however it takes.
Sure.
Then once you bed her, you kind of lose a little interest. Now you can't say bed.
It's funny, you know.
It's just a weird saying. I mean,
at the risk of sounding condescending,
or
I could have
just said
good,
sleep.
Good
or in
word,
Ping Pong's
Andy.
Case, once you table her.
Well, to clarify, People.com, which is People Magazine's website, mm-hmm. said that finally Brady has proposed and Giselle has accepted.
Where is People on the credibility meter?
I think more than TMZ.
Right, but are they close to like real?
I don't know. They're not the Enquirer. I think they're more than the Enquirer.
Oh, I would think. I don't think they do like Alien Lands in Utah.
I would think they're the most credible of all of those types.
They have real stories. Yeah. They're not all right. That's right. You know, if that makes any sense. It's the Enquirer. I mean,
but they have some standards.
Yeah, they were saying that they got engaged this past weekend, but then another story was saying, well, the friends are saying that they've still been engaged since December, since the
white flowers on the plane.
And they just wanted to say it.
And they just wanted to say it now to everybody to make it official.
Okay.
But
and didn't the report also say they may have a small intimate wedding in Costa Rica or a huge,
right,
a big one?
They call it a fashionista style. Yeah. Oh, great! I mean, and the Patriots may go 0-16 next year, or 16-0, or somewhere in the middle.
They have that huge fashion. Are we going to be invited?
I don't even know what fashionista Eric will. He's Metro. You stepped
that's
up
a step
from
up, Andy. Thank you.
Maybe you can offer a portrait for their wedding present.
I would love to offer that. Sure.
So go ahead.
I'd need to actually be in contact with either one of them. That's what would be stopping.
You can work through their agent.
Actually, we know somebody. We know somebody who could maybe do that.
Need some extra lights.
All you need is a picture and a grid and what else?
12 years.
My friend. Not if he pays me enough. Then I could, devote my attention to that.
Would you quit?
It would become his personal.
Oh, wait.
He's already got portrait
artist. Wait a minute. I said a gift. Now you're charging them?
He doesn't know.
He didn't say gift.
Yeah, but gift. Give a gift to somebody who doesn't really. I mean, he knows who we are, but he doesn't really know
Eric
us.
He doesn't know anything about gifts.
Okay.
He has none. He gets none for his birthday.
that's the latter is correct.
Okay.
That's a sad story.
It is.
It's not sad.
I feel bad. We all feel
it's
bad.
It's not sad.
I wish I had known that.
It's
I
not would, sad.
I would have felt bad when should've I didn't
get
you
cashmere socks.
You're right.
That's good.
You're right.
Anyone out there, you want to do yourself a treat, get yourself a pair of cashmere socks.
Do yourself a treat.
That sounds funny.
It is, because do yourself a favor.
Well, yeah. I just thought it was a phrase I hadn't, that most people use all the time.
Do yourself
it's just Fred.
A treat.
No, it's a Fredism.
It's a Fredism. He's putting perfume on a pig over there.
Do a solid, do yourself a solid.
Well,
that
I've heard of.
That I've heard.
Do yourself a treat.
Favor
it's
and
the same
solid.
Thing.
Do yourself
solid,
a treat sounds kind of dirty. Like you got to go to the bathroom to do it.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
A duty?
Pablo in Mexico City writes in, first off, I want to say that I appreciate that you continue to do the show in the off season. Unfortunately, long as this one turned out to be. Now, do you think the refs were especially bad this year? To me, it seems like their regular season performance was horrible, and they are not exactly improving in the postseason. As always, you guys do a great job. Paul, your answer is yes, you agree they have been horrible.
Yes, I do.
More than usual.
Yes, I do agree.
I agree wholeheartedly
with the email.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea what the answer to that is, but I think there have been more egregious errors. I was watching the two games on Saturday, and obviously everybody knows about the delay game that they didn't call in the Tennessee-Baltimore game, which was probably close to a full 2 seconds after the play clock expired. And I understand this, the NFL says it's not just when it hits zero. The referees are sort of instructed.
That's part of the problem.
Right.
In the NBA, when it hits zero, it goes to the little decimals.
And it's very,
why doesn't the pro game go to the decimals?
The shot clock doesn't. The shot clock doesn't go to decimals.
No, the game clock.
But all you need is a little, the shot clock goes on. There's a buzzer in the NBA. So you can't have a buzzer in an old stadium.
You can have a decimal point.
But you can have a decimal point.
Exactly.
They're all digital clocks.
You're missing the point. The reason they say that is because the back judge who watches the play clock, when it hits zero, he then has to look to see if the ball has been snapped. So there's clearly a human element involved there where you're seeing the zeros, whether it's a decimal point or not. You're seeing a zero.
There's a slight delay you're
saying.
There's
a human element of the time that it takes you to look at the play clock and see if the ball has been snapped.
Is he living in a tunnel? He doesn't have peripheral vision to see if the ball was snapped or not when that hit? I mean,
you can kind of.
I don't think you can see both at the same time.
Oh, I do.
But anyway, that's not even my point. My point is,
Tom Brady can scan an entire football field. This guy can't see if a ball was snapped while looking at
the same time. He can see
it. Also depends where
at the same time without moving his head, he can do
yes.
That. Okay,
it depends where the clock.
He is
depends where the clock is.
Maybe he would have made the defense better.
In some stadiums, it's not necessarily in the right place for that to happen.
But it's pretty much always for the most part, on the end where you're looking
for the
through.
Most part, you should be able to do that. I agree with you.
But my point is just that if you're going to have a rule that says, okay, it's not exactly – you can give them a little leeway, I think, is the way that the officials term it. That was about 2 seconds late. And then I'm watching the second game between Arizona and Carolina, and there were two called in that game that is soon – I mean, there was like –
as
just
soon as
went
it
from
zero.
One. I don't even think it might have been like Andy Hart's decimals. It might have been like .2. It was so instantaneous, and the whistle blew twice.
And not an accident.
I looked at Beth and I said, "If I'm Tennessee, I just threw something through my TV that they just called a delay of game there on Arizona."
But
was so instantaneous, it was ridiculous.
Is the overall officiating of the league worse in your mind, or
this year? I think yes. More egregious mistakes made.
Yeah, really.
Than I can recall in the past. Or you know, from Ed Hockley on down.
Has it just been more egregious mistakes, more highly publicized mistakes, in a smaller number of games, but in a number of highly publicized games?
No, I think there was just a lot of egregious mistakes from non-publicized games to, you know, that the safety that they called against Green Bay in just a meaningless middle of the season game where Aaron Rodgers threw the ball in a manner in which the referee decided he didn't like it,
right,
and called it an illegal forward pass.
That's
made
what
up
I
a
think.
Rule.
There's been more
just made it up.
Ridiculous calls as opposed to bad calls.
You know,
like,
the Ed
there's one thing
play,
to miss a holding or yeah. mm-hmm. you know Marcus Pollard was raped but they didn't call it. That's
I'm talking about
a call that you blew. This is just ridiculous. What are you watching? I mean,
the
thing a four-year-old
like to me
that
the defensive hold on the Colts in overtime was a terrible call, but that's a judgment call.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
Making
that's
up
never,
a rule is not.
They
a...
made up a rule with the delay of game. Obviously, it was interpreted two different ways in back-to-back games. The call I'm talking about with the underhand pass that Aaron Rodgers did that cost Green Bay a game. There's been more of those kinds of things to me than there ever have been.
The other thing I've noticed a lot this year, we've mentioned it a few times in the press box, is a lot of times a flag will be thrown or not be thrown, and the official will get on his mic and say, "There is no penalty for pass interference,"
and then just go away.
And then just go away.
Oh, where there's no flag.
Where there's
at
no
all.
Flag, he'll right. come on and say, "There's no flag for this or that."
Now, there was one of those in the Giants game where I think it was Corey Webster made a great play. He had his hand on the inside shoulder. His left hand was on the inside shoulder of Kevin Curtis, but he didn't pull him. He didn't do the turn. And then he dove around and got there perfect timing, knocked the ball away. Guy throws the flag. They talked about it, and then obviously the guy who threw the flag got overruled. They talked him out of it, and the referee came on and said, "There is no flag for passing."
Right, but a flag had been thrown.
I can understand that. I can't understand what Eric is talking about, and we saw this. Andy, how
almost,
many times did we see
almost
that?
Every game.
It, you know, with there's no flag on the play, especially when Ed Hockley's involved.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Where there's no flag thrown, and they get on, there is no intentional grounding.
Themselves.
The quarterback was outside the pocket. Well, we understand that. You didn't throw the flag.
Right.
We know why you didn't throw the flag.
But it was more common than I've ever seen it.
It's almost like in their head they're saying, people are going to be questioning
people,
this. I might have to.
They are
cognizant of criticism. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. That's bad. I think that's a bad situation.
Well,
I agree with the email 100%.
You know, is this because of instant replay? I mean, have we kind of created a monster here where not only are the refs thinking in their head, everything I do now is under more of a microscope, but now we're better watchers. Well, we notice more errors more.
And it's almost instant
the
replay.
Broadcasters notice
but
more
But the
errors.
NFL Network, I think that thing where they every week they talk about the penalties has done more harm than good.
I love it.
No, you may as a fan or whatever, but it keeps it in the news, and then you have not only the penalty, but then the follow-up and the film review and why. Then you have people criticizing Pereira for his reasoning of why. It extends.
Who called him Baghdad Bob? Somebody was.
That's my name. That's my
that's
name
great.
For him.
That's great.
That's my name
that's
for him.
That's great.
I'm not the only one to use that.
You know, it's not just that the refs are cognizant of criticism. It's in a lot of cases, they were. It wasn't just penalties either. It was sometimes they would get on and say, the ruling on the field is that the receiver was out of bounds. It's almost like he was saying, hint, hint, coach of the other team, throw the challenge flag right. so that you can take a look at it.
Leading the witness.
Leading the witness almost. Like they were saying, hey, we're not quite sure. This is what we ruled. You might want to challenge it.
Make them all full-time. That's what I say.
That's kind of how it was in a lot of
not
cases.
Not really, but
there was that.
Seems to be the only argument.
The play in the game this week, I don't know if you noticed this, but Florio wrote about it pretty extensively in the Tennessee-Baltimore game. First, they missed what looked like a safety, but there's nothing you could do about that because they didn't challenge it. They ruled it on the field, whatever. Again, that's a judgment call. But later, they called a personal foul after a play on Tennessee, and the referee came on and said, after the play, personal foul on the offense, the down counts. And they didn't count the down.
Right.
And, of course, Baghdad Bob came out and explained that they weren't supposed to count the down.
That's
they did it right. However, they didn't go to the line of scrimmage
right.
to mark off the penalty. They went from where the penalty happened, which would lead you to believe that the down should have counted.
That's right.
And I think they screwed that up. I think that's another egregious error where, like Andy says, it's not – I think that's pass interference, but it wasn't. This is just flat out the way the rule is written in the book. Mm. They didn't do it right. Mm.
I don't know if it's just we're better at pointing these things out than we ever were now. I think – are we more educated? Are we – better watchers now, and this stuff happened before, but we didn't notice it as much.
I mean, these are happening in the divisional round of the playoffs. You don't think 30 years ago they would have noticed? Sports
writers
would have
noticed.
Well,
nowadays, you know, some kid puts it on YouTube, and you can go and watch it as many times as you want.
It's just more prevalent, and people are watching it. There's chat rooms where people are talking about it. Like, I think Andy's right. 20 years ago, you might not have been able to go on to Florio and see 55 people saying, geez, they missed a safety in this game. Look at this. Yeah, I thought for sure.
You talk about it at the office maybe, but it doesn't go much further.
In that same game, I thought for sure
no
Joe Flacco stepped out of bounds. Did you see that
from
play?
The camera angle it did. I was going ballistic.
They never showed a replay. They only showed it live. I had to rewind. I rewound it and went back, and I saw that he didn't go out of bounds.
Right.
But I thought for sure that Flacco was out of bounds and pulled an Olafsky.
Yeah,
which is what he called it.
Right. He said, I almost pulled an Olafsky.
Oh, went to safety?
Funny. Yeah.
I thought he stepped out, too.
Rolling in the back of the
I thought he did.
I yelled. He's just a safety.
But now you go on Florio, and there's like 50 people on there commenting and talking about it. I just think that it probably always happens that people were looking at it. We all were watching
Boomer had emails at halftime. Wasn't that in the first half?
And Boomer
and in
said
his halftime, he goes, I'm getting emails on this.
He didn't step out of bounds.
Yeah, and it was clear that he wasn't.
And he didn't.
And camera angles are better. Quality of the camera is better.
HD TV.
I think it all adds to it. Hey, thank you for that.
Back to stuffing those envelopes.
Steven from Oregon's on the phone. Steven, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing pretty good. What's going on?
Oh, we're just talking football and cashmere socks.
Good.
Oh, well, that's cashmere socks. That's lovely. Did you get that from some fine PFW listener there?
Do yourself a treat. Get a pair of cashmere socks.
Do yourself a favor.
That doesn't mean what you think it means either.
Hey, wool socks, I tell you. Those are the way to go, I tell you.
Well, wool socks are bad.
Some things wool socks are. You know Wigwam? You know that brand?
No.
They make a nice wool sock for tennis.
Really? For tennis?
Wigwam, yeah.
For tennis.
Hey, Andy and Paul, is there anything that Fred hasn't tried or doesn't know about?
No. Especially if it's on TV, he's tried it.
why you leave me out of that, Steven?
You know,
Eric, I didn't know you were there. You usually not there.
He's tried things I would never have been.
Taylor Mays is staying in school? That's a bummer.
Actually, I didn't hear your voice, Eric. I didn't know you were there. So.
That'll end all those
By the way, we joke about these infomercials. On CNBC, they had a long story about them, and they're taking a poll for the greatest of all time because there's a groundswell of support for ShamWow.
The greatest
infomercial of all time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I kind of agree. The guy lures me in. I can't help it.
when he just dunks it in.
It's like Eric on a Friday night. The guy just lures me in.
Oh, for God's sakes, Andy. He just can't stop.
Way
like
to go,
walks
Andy.
By Eric's car. Eric
just lures Steve is in. Like, way to go, Andy.
Ed Popeil was the first.
You're gonna have a son like that,
Ron.
Steven. You know that?
No? What was the first?
Isn't it Ron?
Oh, Ron Popeil.
Ron Popeil. Yeah. Or does he have a father, Ed?
Is Ron Popeil the set it and forget it guy?
Yeah.
And everything.
But
I mean,
he was the Gibson.
He's reinvented himself.
He
was the Billy Mays.
That's Billy Mays now. That's his job. And that's going to be Fred Kirsch soon. You're going to get that job.
No chance.
The Fred Kirsch infomercial.
Yeah.
Yep.
He buys all the stuff, so he might as well promote it. Get some change out of it.
Fred, what do you think? Your first one going to be the juicer, or are you going to go for the slot in the soap there?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
The dope on a soap.
That's correct.
Dope on a soap.
Dope on a rope.
A pope of soap
hey,
and a dope.
So I'm calling about McDaniels, and I popped onto my Moby and saw that he slid on over to Denver. So what are we looking at?
What a popping and sliding over there, Stephen. Be careful.
Where PFW is projecting, like CNN, with one precinct reporting, that Bill O'Brien will be the offensive coordinator.
New play caller.
The unnamed
at least
offensive
the
coordinator.
De facto offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yes, he may not have it in a titular sense,
but he said it twice ever since I said
that's,
it.
That's complete speculation.
Oh, yeah, that's just
absolute
us.
Speculation.
Now, what do you think of, since that he lost a key component on the offensive side in the coaching staff, do you think that they'll make a run at getting Romeo back so he can feel like the defense is a little bit more shored up and he doesn't really have to worry about that?
Sure. I think that falls in line with what we were talking about. If Bill's worried about being spread too thin, if he can add a veteran
comfort voice on defense that would allow him to maybe not go to the – what was he doing that you got all worked at? Every first series
after
going to the
sideline? After the first offensive series –
he'd run off and forget about the offense.
Right, right. Forget about the offense and spend.
He had the temerity to talk to his players.
Maybe if Romeo's there, he doesn't do that.
I don't know why Paul looks at it as a negative. It was just something he was doing.
Yeah, I just something that I had noticed him doing for a long time.
If Dom Capers leaves, I'd say the Cornell coming back is more.
If he wants to.
He has a voice if he wants to, yes. But if he doesn't.
Does Capers have a place that he might be going, or is there a thought?
Well, there was talk that he would go
away from here.
There's a local report that says
that he might go to Denver.
He and Brad Seeley will not be back. Doesn't say where they're going. Just says that they won't be back with the staff, according to a source, and that's in the Boston Globe today.
Okay, so I must have missed that. Did you throw that in the Blitz, or
Eric,
it's in the Blitz.
It's in the Blitz. Yeah, it's in the Blitz. I missed it. That's my bad.
Is it really in the Blitz?
Yes.
It is. Didn't appear on Steven's Mobi.
No, I
didn't pop up on his Mobi when he slid over to that.
And thanks for the plug, Patriots.Mobi. Right. For those of you with cell phones and you want to get the latest Patriots news, Patriots.Mobi.
It's MOBI, right? Not like
MOBI. You're not allowed to play with my Mobi, and I got to go.
All right, see you, Steve.
See you,
Steve.
All right,
he's got a lot of energy.
He's a happy seven kids.
He's a happy guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you not pay attention to our listeners?
I didn't realize it was that many.
I don't remember anything, and I knew how many kids he had.
Well, fine. He didn't send
me
a Christmas card.
That's because you didn't find that out until after the colonoscopy.
That's true. Jeff in Alberta says, I've been a loyal listener for 3 seasons now, and this is my first email. Wanted to congratulate you guys on another great season of podcasts. I want to know if you guys are as frustrated as I am watching the Cardinals win the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
After the thrashing we gave them, I can't believe that the NFC Championship game.
I'm glad
after
for
going
them.
An unprecedented 11-5 and missing the playoffs, I can't believe how crappy the playoffs have been. Also, my wife and I are expecting our first child any day now. I have the podcast playing every day after work, and I think my unborn child should be able to distinguish your voices by now. I'm hoping its first words aren't, Ferreira sucks, or I have
no
formal artistic training. Any advice for a new dad?
You'd be lucky if that's all it is.
Any advice for a new dad from the fathers on the show? Any advice for a
rest
new
up, get some sleep. That's about it.
Right now.
Before
the child is born. I have a good one, a serious one. Don't become too scheduled. Because they always say if you get a baby on a schedule, it's better. Like if they know,
because then if you get off the schedule,
it really F's you. You need to have a good balance of schedule versus
spontaneity,
living your life and doing things. If there's a party or cookout, go to it. Take the kid, bring a pack and play. Don't always structure. Oh, got to be home by 6:30. The kid goes to bed at 7. That'd be my advice.
I would agree with Andy's advice.
And I got a little,
and I would also say,
Jackson,
not that
I'm scheduled.
By no means am I
calling
the
your
expert.
Own son a pansy, huh?
I told you, a kid touched him at a birthday party. He cried.
He's a baby.
Well, that's my point.
Infant.
He's a baby.
But he is a baby.
I would say don't be afraid to use drugs to put the kid out. You know,
for yourself or for the kid?
Yeah, for yourself. You want him to go to use a little bit of drugs. Don't worry
about it. A little
hot
toddy, they call him?
I just think you can do all the preparation in the world and read all the books, and they're all right. I mean, I'm not saying the books are nonsense, but in the end, you got to kind of do what you have to do to make it right for you and your wife. Because otherwise, you're not going to get any rest. You're not going to, you know, and Andy's right. If you do all these things on these little regimented systems and schedules, it's not really going to work for anybody.
Did your wives read any of those books?
Yeah, my wife read all of them.
Plus, What to Expect When You're Expecting and all that stuff. Did they make you read them too?
No.
Hell no.
Just asking. You have to get all crazy.
I have testicles.
Whoa.
No.
Yeah, they're shrunken from all the steroids you took.
So apparently, you know, finding out information is not something
it's not
a man would do.
I am in an
age. Not
these two men, obviously.
Well,
First of all, I didn't yell at you. I don't know why you got to throw me in.
Sorry.
There.
Well, you took so many shots at me this week.
The Howie Long commercial with the truck and he's talking to the one guy?
About the step?
His voice is all high.
I'm a trucker. This is a trucker's truck. And then he starts asking questions and it gets higher and his voice gets higher.
Eric and I were talking about those. We like those commercials because
they attack the competition.
Right.
The one about your pansy. Hey, you left
your
pansy step down.
Yeah.
I like that. Go right after him. Although I've come to the conclusion, they're making fun of Dodge and Ford for having all these new innovations because apparently they don't have anything new. They're just rolling out the same truck.
Right, right.
They're bringing Howie Long out
to sell
the truck. Don't
let the facts get in the way.
The man step is not a bad idea.
I kind of like it.
The one thing they did have, though, was the heated steering wheel because Howie goes over to the guy who hits him in the
who
traffic jam.
Who has the
gym.
Heated? The Howie or the
other guy?
Howie does. No, it's Howie does because he goes over to him and he says, hey, is that a heated steering wheel? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, oh, is that a manicure? And the guy's like, He's like, yeah, okay. So Howie's got the heated steering wheel, apparently.
Oh, okay.
That's how I took it. Anyway.
I thought it was the opposite.
I like the heated steering wheel. I don't like the heated seats. Do you have heated seats?
I have heated seats. Yeah.
I don't like those.
They're okay.
I've never felt cold. My hands have felt cold.
Yeah.
On a cold day, you don't like the heated seat?
No, I don't like the heated seat. Makes my
Paul generates enough heat.
That's rule number 211.
No more so than the friction in Eric's seat.
Is that what you were laughing at? Because I was trying to figure out what I said.
While you're driving?
Had nothing to do with it.
You could cause
had
an
nothing to do with it.
Usually I know why you're making fun
Isn't
of me.
Is that a movie,
I didn't know what
Crash, people who have sex while driving?
That's a movie?
Yeah. It's a really? It's a certain type of like phobia or addiction or, I don't know.
Crash was the drug movie.
Yeah, it's not called Crash. Impact.
No, it was Traffic.
Traffic was
Traffic,
the
I'm sorry.
There's a true phobia or whatever, people that like to have sex while crashing.
You mean like a thrill seeker?
While crashing or while driving?
Crashing.
So you come and go at the same time?
He's done it again.
Yep. On the phone is Chris with a TIAN. Chris, how you doing?
What's going on? This, Fred, I got to tell you, if you're ever down, TFW listeners, just tune in.
What, are you down today, Christian?
No. That was hilarious. I'm just saying, for anybody else out there who may be having a bad day, please tune in 12 to 2 Tuesday. Oh, God.
Or download the podcast now.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to do that again. This is John Hanna.
What's up, Christian?
Well, I just wanted to say, Fred, I agree with you about McDaniels and, you know, Pioli. I think, you know, they'll definitely be missed, but, you know, who was Josh McDaniels, you know, before Charlie Weiss left?
Nobody's irreplaceable.
Yeah,
Bill.
I mean, it's you know, I think that they probably have the guys in the pipeline. You know, you guys have mentioned Caserio and, I guess, this other guy, O'Brien. I mean, I haven't heard of him, obviously, you know. I think there's a system in place, and, you know, like everybody said, Bill calls the shots. Now, will he probably get spread too thin maybe with Pioli leaving? I don't know. I don't know what Casario's role will be if he's that guy. What if he goes like Andy said? Yeah. But I just think they have a good system in place. I think they have a pretty good roster, and, you know, I just think that they have the guys there.
I think you're right. I think they knew this was coming, Pioli and McDaniels. And you know what? Kraft is not a hands-on owner. He doesn't dabble, but he's another guy that plans for things that might happen. And I'm sure that he, you know, has urged Bill to always think that way too. So you got to imagine that they're ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're already far. Years ago, Pauly was getting overtures from Seattle, and then last year it was the Giants, I think. And,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And then even last year, McDaniels was it Washington or Baltimore? I mean, he was rumored with a couple of teams, but. Yeah, I mean, they probably, you know, even last year, they were like, oh, we got a pretty good chance of losing these guys now, I think. But, you know, even if you add in Sealy, you know, that's no more. Capers, I'm not sure what he did. I mean, I know they said he coached the secondary, but I don't know. It's just, you never really heard his name.
It didn't look like he was coached.
Game planning and stuff like that, I don't know. It's, you know.
You know, we assumed that was going to be his role, that he was going to help game plan or whatever, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe he was brought in specifically to try to help fix that secondary, which was what, you know, we all thought was the position that needed the most help on that side of the ball. And by the end of the year, when the injuries, you know, sort of stopped, the unit wasn't doing too bad.
That was when they had 21-point leads halfway through the first quarter.
But they were getting the job done.
The competition was pretty bad, too.
It was, but
playing a team that hit the drive-through.
Last time the game was competitive, Seneca Wallace was trying to beat them.
But I'm saying he had to put rookies in starting roles. He had a lot
of
stuff to do.
I don't blame it for a second on Capers because I think that he just didn't have I agree with Eric. I don't think he had the personnel to work with. But just to show you, I think, how much that unit struggled, the secondary. I mean, even in that last game when the winds were blowing 50 miles an hour and you absolutely couldn't throw the ball, Trent Edwards completed more than he didn't complete. I mean, even in the fourth quarter when they had to throw the ball, they were completing pass. Now, they didn't score, but I think that was more a product of the weather than anything else. I mean, he completed some passes that
both quarterbacks
how are these
were
guys
completing
so
passes,
open? Wait, but Castle did it all year.
But I'm saying in that weather, both sides completed a lot more passes than we thought.
But 14 for 25 is different than 7 for 8 or 6 for 7,
well,
whatever
right.
Castle wants.
I'm just trying to give Capers a little benefit of the doubt.
Oh, and I totally agree with you.
And
benefit
he deserves
of the doubt
it
for Capers. I think he deserves
of his
the
career
benefit of the doubt.
I do.
Don't judge anything on what he did this year with Delta O'Neal and
you know, Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite. The guy is a proven, successful head coach,
yeah,
defensive mind coordinator, and secondary coach dating to way back when.
I would say maybe other than Ivan Fears, he was the one position coach who had the most to deal with as far as changing elements every week. He almost didn't know every week who was going to be his starting group. You know, and I think given that, he did a pretty good job, I thought. And, you know, another thing that we haven't brought up yet is if all these people start leaving and there has to be a lot of, you know, turnover on the coaching staff and in the personnel office, a lot of times when you have that kind of turnover in any work organization, there's sort of a bunker mentality that sets in. And, you know, everyone sort of pulls together because they know they have a lot of work to do and a big job to do. So in a, you know, backhanded sense, maybe this could help the team. Help the people in the front office or in the scouting or whatever get the job done,
sure,
because they know they have to because they're down a few people or whatever.
Sure.
So
I mean, you're doing young
well,
people.
I think speaking from Resident experience, Homer. Actually, I know this is totally different. I mean, football, but my job, we had cutbacks, and what it does is that it forces you to really focus on your day to day activities.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And what you do is you really take out the fat. And you really take out the junk that you know. Stuff
don't
that
say
you
it.
Doing
Paul's still here. Don't say it.
Stop.
Just stop.
Well, that's all I have for today. Finally, if I have to cheer for anybody, I guess I'll cheer for Philly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I hate Baltimore and I hate Pittsburgh.
Pull for Arizona, Christian.
No, they quitters.
Thank
Forget
you.
That. See
Thank
you later.
You. Well,
they,
done,
they laid down.
Well done,
they
Christian.
Well done, Christian.
All right, Christian.
See you guys.
True
Thank
Christian.
You.
Keith from Central Florida writes in. He says, I don't know about you, but I would rather see Josh McDaniel take Dean Pease with him instead of Dom Capers. Bill can certainly demote or even fire Pease and make Capers a D coordinator so Josh would be able to take him to Denver, then possibly get Romeo back to coach the secondary. I know the defense really sucked this year. Even when they were healthy, they sucked. The Pats' D has deteriorated a great deal since Dean took over, in my opinion. Granted that Capers may not have worked miracles with the secondary this year, but I have to say that Dom did get some improvement out of the secondary somewhat from players like Merriweather. Also, doesn't Capers' resume speak for himself? As far as Josh leaving, I say good riddance. I still blame him for the crappy, conservative game plan against the Giants last year. I know he had a good year this year and most of last year, but he choked at the end. Case in point, when the Pats went no huddle in the Super Bowl, they moved the ball down the field. I know we can blame that loss on many things, but I still and always will blame Josh for that lousy game plan, the number one offense of all time, and he wants to milk the clock with a small lead. Well, there's a dissenting view right there. Oh, someone's at the door.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
I have no idea why 2G picked Christina to lead into this Word of the Day, but...
I think I have an idea.
Purely today's coincidence.
Is
sure.
Titular Head. That's titular head.
Okay.
Can you read the definition or no?
I actually can. I think, right?
Don't ask him. He'll let you read anything.
It's different than what you might think it is because it sounds like it could be even dirtier than it is. It's the top of Mount Breastmore, a.k.a. second base.
Okay.
It's not as dirty as it.
No, it's not.
You know, head has some implications.
Yeah.
Two things. I think Fred will be on board with this. You know who you should blame for the uncertainty on the coaching staff right now? Eric Mangini. Because had he stayed and not bolted ship as soon as somebody showed interest, he would have been defensive coordinator longer. Then if he did leave to take a head coaching job, Dean Pease would have stepped up then, so you'd have a little more certainty or a new guy there. And Brian Daboll would probably be your offensive coordinator because he wouldn't have jumped ship with Mangini to New York.
Right.
So you'd have him ready to slide into McDaniel's place.
Yep. Right on, my man. All comes back to
him. Now I just want to throw – how about a – wacky, wild speculation. Offensive coordinator, the guy Bill supported last Thursday evening in Florida, Urban Meyer.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
You're
I said
Urban
wild
Meyer.
I'm just trying
Mike
to have
Leach.
A little
he
fun.
He wants to coach in the NFL.
Mike Leach.
Why would you do that if you're Mike Leach?
Because he's coaching
we're
going to
have a little
Texas.
Fun and just speculate.
He just signed a long-term extension, though.
So?
Now, Mike Leach is that guy. Is he like the genius?
He's considered the inventor. Well, not inventor is probably a strong word, but the spread offense. He's given a lot of credit
to a new
the spread
level.
Offense.
The 60 Minutes just did a thing
yeah.
on him.
Yes.
Okay, that's the guy. Yeah.
The mad scientist, I think they called him.
Right.
Yeah, he's not a fit.
They didn't do Paul so well. Like that. I don't like that fit either.
You're not buying it?
I could see Urban Meyer a lot more.
No, but I'm just the reason I brought him up was
I think Leach is Spurrier-like.
He's got ideas.
Good
in
college guy, not a
well,
pro
plus,
guy.
I'm not sure. Like, I think Urban Meyer is Bill Belichick-like in that if he has to be here at midnight and back and work 24 hours, he would do it. I think Leach would be like, 6:30. I get it.
How do you know? Like, what makes
I'm on
you say
I'm
that?
On a schedule.
Because I think
got
he
the
has
baby,
a notebook.
On a schedule.
Oh, speaking of that, we didn't mention Tony Dungy retiring. Thoughts?
Is this an SPFW?
This is like the McLaughlin hour.
If it was SPFW, it would have been Tony Dungy retired. I think he's one of the most overrated coaches of all time. Thoughts?
What say you, SPFW?
What say you? I thought he might have. I was surprised he waited this long. I thought he was going to do it a couple of years ago, actually. But, you know, good for him. I think he's finally decided what he really wants to do. And if that doesn't involve the NFL, fine.
If he comes back in a year?
I think less of him.
Fraud.
Yeah,
fraud.
I think
less of him if he comes back in a year.
Yeah.
Now, if he came back in 5 or 6 years or whatever, he did something else and decided he wanted to come back, that's different. But if he came immediately back, I would think less of him. I think he's a pretty good guy. I know that around here you can't say that. But
remember last year
he's a pretty good
when
guy.
Favre retired and I said, I don't buy it, I think he's coming back?
Right.
I think Dungy is retiring and I think he means it.
Yeah.
At least for five or six years.
Rules that people can't retire unless he says it's okay. So. Trying to change the rules.
I heard Pelion on ESPN.
Because he likes to change the
Dungy's
rules.
Dungy's a good guy.
Because he's a rule changer.
Say what you want about the Colts and Pelion and Manning and all that, but Tony Dungy's a good guy.
And a good coach,
and he deserves whatever happiness he's going after.
TG
and
Eric's
going to cry over here.
He's not going to cry. That's what I'm saying.
Not like Pelion and Ursa yesterday.
They actually know him. They share similar interests, right?
Who they?
He's in a pursuit of the ministry and whatever, just like you are.
I'm not pursuing the ministry.
Oh.
I'm a spiritual brother, but I'm not pursuing any ministry.
I'm a spiritual brother.
Wait, no, he's
it's
pursuing
Billy
some ministers,
Yates, Bethel Johnson, and you?
Eric Scalavino.
What'd you say, Fred?
He pursues ministers.
I'm glad I asked, because that was his best in a while.
Paul's worst team to win the Super Bowl question. TG and NJ says, we all know Andy is a Steelers fan and will root for them. Fred's reasoning for who to root for is as ridiculous as Mendenhall. Paul, do you even care who wins? And Eric, do we even care who you want to win?
Who is this?
TG.
He's an angry
man. My question
really
wasn't necessarily who would be the worst for you.
No, he's going on
four.
To it.
Is this the worst team ever in the Super
Bowl?
Right,
that's what he's going on to. Let him finish the email.
Okay.
TG. But to answer Paulie's question about the Cardinals being the worst team to win the Super Bowl, the only other team I can think of that you could bring into the question are the 2000 Ravens. They were all defense, no offense.
But their defense was great.
Yeah, it was a great defense.
I don't think it's as bad as Arizona, but that's the worst Super Bowl winner of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The 2000
I'm hoping the Cards beat the Eagles. Most likely Andy Stillers will beat the Ravens. Then I'm hoping for a 2000-esque Super Bowl upset with the Cards beating Andy Stillers. Most likely won't happen.
No chance.
I'm a big fan because he's a BC guy. Don't hate me, Paulie. But once again, the offensive rookie of the year should not be Matty Ice. It's Joe Flacco. They really need to wait till the season is over before
I agree with
they
that.
Decide.
Smartest thing you've said in this email,
crap.
TG.
Well, as much as I hate BC, Matt Ryan had a better year than Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this
been a regular season.
I don't even think that's comparable. Well, that's what you judge it on. Some guys don't play in the playoffs.
Chris in Stamford says
Gerard Mayo has to give back that defensive.
Gerard Mayo should be the defensive rookie of the year because he didn't play in the playoffs. That makes sense.
That's not the point. Chris in
Stamford. No, of course you would pull Pelion and try to change the rules if that happened.
Chris in Stamford says I'm trying to figure out the best way to answer Paul's question, and I think the best way to phrase it is that Arizona would have put in the worst performance of any Super Bowl winning team, but they've shown they can actually play when it counts. Let's not forget that the Pats lost to the Bills 31-0 in 2003. I wonder what the worst blowout suffered by a Super Bowl winner during the regular season is. I'll see if I can find that out.
It was out here a few weeks ago if they win.
That was embarrassing.
47-7.
Yes, but that happened. I mean, 47-7 might very well be the one, but that happens more often than you think.
Right. I mean, the first game of the season, you're going to hold it again. Wow, we got blown out in the first week. We can't be a Super Bowl team.
Right. Strippers thinks that or wonders if the 1979 Los Angeles Rams at 9-7 were worse.
That's the only other 9-17. There have been 10-6 teams. There have been 11-5 teams. That Rams team was pretty good. I thought they also lost their quarterback in the middle of the season. Yeah. And of course, I'm biased because my cousin was
no credibility. It's like Fred talking Patriots.
But they struggled a little bit and they lost. Pat Hayden early in the season, and then Ferragamo came in and kind of kick-started things and played pretty well.
Todd Porter wants to know if I've seen the infomercial for the Wonder Boner.
Yeah,
we did see the infomercial for the Wonder Boner, and it's
hilarious and disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
It's really? Very disgusting. The fish are disgusting.
Yeah, even using it, like on an infermercial, everything's perfect.
Right.
You know, they do.
Yeah, that
and
guy,
even this doesn't look
It looks
good.
All slimy.
They're supposed to glamorize the process, not like make you nauseous. I mean, who would want to eat that fish after it gets jammed on that stick?
The writing in the infomercial was excellent, though. Like the guy saying, where'd you
get
that
Wonder
Boner?
This Emmy for best writing in an infomercial, Wonder Boner.
My wife could use one of those.
TG and NJ has a little... thing with Eric. He says, Eric, a little poetic justice. What if Jackson Hart turns out to be gay? Sorry, Andy, no ill will to you. It just would be ironic. The worst thing is that gay little Jackson would still have to put up with his dad's stupid jokes.
That's true.
Can I go out tonight? I don't know. Don't you have to go in first? And by the way, I thought you're already out.
That's true.
Great job, TG. Good stuff right there. We've actually talked about this.
We have talked about this, and I'd like to ask if Eric, you're our resident expert on this topic. If indeed my son were gay, would it be better if it was like this hush-hush, closed behind doors thing, or I was making jokes like that?
It would be better if you would leave the poor kid alone.
That's
what would be better.
But it's me, so we know that's not an option.
It would be better if you were making jokes about it and it was out in the open.
And it was like everything else. I treat it the same way I treat everything else in life.
You would embrace
His mother's cooking, whatever.
You don't like his mother's cooking?
But would you take his feelings into consideration?
What?
Would you take his feelings into consideration?
Yes. But isn't the idea that we're supposed to get to at some point in life where gayness, anything, race, it's all treated the same?
But what if you're okay?
It's not even a factor.
But
that's
what
you want.
Right. That's my point. I make fun of everything.
It is a factor if you're constantly badgering somebody about it.
Right. What if your son came to you and said, "All right, Dad, you know, you've been joking at me for like 5 years now. Can you stop it? Would you stop?
Enough,
I don't think you could
probably
stop
for like a day or two.
I don't think you could stop.
And by the way, what shoes are these that you've got on now, Andy?
These
are the weirdest shoes I've ever
seen.
He has
the worst footwear.
They're my Tuesday shoes.
Oh my God! It looks like something out of like some peasant farmer would wear in like the 14th century. I don't know what they are.
Are they comfortable at least?
Yes.
They're not cashmere socks, so do yourself a treat.
Brent from Illinois says, I've been meaning to write for a while now and let you know I flew out of Rhode Island for the holidays, and one of the stops my wife and I made was the Hall at Patriot Place.
Good for you.
Presented by Raytheon.
We'll be going there soon.
I went on the 23rd, and it was fantastic. I was really impressed with the film, especially that one guy's hair. My wife could not stop talking about it. I think the whole experience is great and cannot wait to bring my son there when he's a little older and can appreciate it. Just one question. I wonder if you could somehow get a replica of the chair that Bob Kraft uses in his box. I've always wanted to see what he's sitting on. Anyway, this will be an interesting offseason for the Pats. Coaching changes galore. I'm betting that someone gets hired as QB coach and Bill takes over as the O coordinator, just like when Weiss left. So that's Brent from Illinois. Hmm. Loves the Hall.
Presented by Raytheon.
That's
good job, three gender.
Yeah, Will Bill O'Brien maintain his wide receiver role and become play caller, and they'll hire a quarterbacks coach? Or
good questions, all.
Or does he move to quarterbacks / OC?
You know, when we were talking earlier,
or do they bring a young guy up? You know, like we were talking
Shane Waldron.
We were talking earlier about maybe the overrated aspect of the offensive coordinator, because we just found out when we were doing our research on the Broncos that their offensive coordinator didn't call the plays last year.
Right.
Apparently, it was their quarterbacks coach who did that.
And
which kind of
won't call the plays
next year because Josh McDaniels will be.
No, right. But I'm saying, but this past year, you would just assume the offensive coordinator is the guy who calls the plays. Mm. But in their case, they had a coordinator, but the QB coach.
I agree with
that.
I would automatically assume the offensive coordinator is calling the plays unless I knew that the head coach was. Like Mike Holmgren has called plays as the head coach for a lot of years.
Right.
But if it's not the head coach, I would automatically assume the coordinator is doing it.
But between Shanahan and the coordinator.
Or
I thought that was pretty surprising.
It's in Dallas, the owner does it.
Well, yeah. Depends.
That was well played.
Greetings from Ireland, says Dermot. Listening live for the first time in ages as my
endoscopy.
As my endoscopy list was over early.
Colonoscopy and endoscopy, you got an Eric's Friday night.
This was the best of weeks and the worst of weeks.
He can't even get him out before he has to laugh.
Dermot says this was the best of weeks and the worst of weeks. Bad. I agree with Paul again. regarding Josh being gone for good for him, bad for us. And Scott looks like he's on the way. However, I just bought my tickets for October game in London, and I can't wait.
Good for you.
And Fred, there are, in fact, better things than cashmere socks. I just said there wasn't. I just said it was one of a treat that you could give yourself.
Does he list any?
Early proposal. What about getting all the Irish Pats fans, Cormac, Patty the Drunk, etc., to meet up with you guys before the game in London? I know it's a long way off. However, we need to prepare how we're going to average the litany of abuse Andy has heaped on my compatriots.
Avenge.
Yeah.
Right, avenge.
Sorry for stepping on your toes there, Eric.
No problem.
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, avenge.
Hey, did you see this report?
So you're going to get a whooping when you go over there, Andy.
Antonio Cromartie reported to the San Diego Union-Tribune that he played the whole year with a fractured hip. You didn't see that, evidently, by the glazed look in your eyes.
I couldn't get clips this morning, national clips. There's some weird thing.
That would seem to be a pretty significant injury to try to play through, no?
Especially at that position, yeah.
Paul.
That was Ty Law. He would have been printing it on billboards in week two.
Paul in London. Hi to everyone and Eric. First, a question to Eric. What was your longest field goal completion in your playing days?
Practice or games?
Oh, here we go.
Games.
Games, 45.
45?
In games, yeah. That was in high school.
Okay. Second, I noticed some new definitions of Scalavina were popping up in the Urban Dictionary.
That's unfortunate.
Dictionary.
You don't like that?
I really don't. What are
but
some of the
nobody knows you, so it's not like, you know.
I just don't. Yeah, I really don't want my family name to be associated with that.
What are the
so
new
whoever put that up there, if you could kindly
your
take it down,
name.
I'd appreciate it. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm being totally serious. If you could.
What are the
you had your little laugh. That's fine. That's great.
They've added
you could
since
take
the
it
original.
Down,
right.
Have they added since the original?
There's like four of them up there now, apparently.
Oh, the original was pompous, right?
Why didn't you just take them down if you knew they were up there?
That's not my place to do that.
How do you know it's you?
How do you do it?
Because it's people who write into the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have to say who they are?
They have to say who posted it, yeah. So
who posted them?
Well, I don't remember who they are, but whoever did it, I just recognized that there were names from the show. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I'd appreciate it.
They're messing with the family name now.
Well, no, they're actually the definition is for Scalavino.
I have the definition.
You're Scalavino, so there's a difference.
That's true. Yeah,
there's
it could
no,
be a different
no
pronunciation.
Andy.
Right.
There's no difference.
There isn't. Then why did you correct me when I said
there's no difference when you on the spelling, Fred.
He just digs and digs.
You are a pain in the ass.
Which one?
But all of you.
Why, what did I do?
Eric and the Hemorrhoids.
This might be Fred's best show ever.
I think it might be.
Finally, says Paul, what is the minimum the Patriots should expect in a trade for Castle, and what are the chances he is still here after the draft, as I have a 50-pound bet with someone that he is gone before the draft, as I am certain Brady is fine in that the leaks about his injuries are deliberate, so we have a reason to franchise him. Congrats to Brady on his engagement. It was weird to hear his name mentioned over the radio today. So
I think it's possible Castle could still be here after the draft.
Minimum trade? First round pick.
Minimum.
Oh, absolutely minimum.
Okay.
I'd say first and either another pick or a player, depending on who the player is.
I should throw this out there, too. On Sunday, we do the pregame show, Fred, even though we're not in the playoffs. We still do on WEEI, NFL Sunday. And Tom Curran was on this week, and he sort of seemed to be backing off not the situation with Brady's knee, but any possibility that 2009 would be in jeopardy. It seems that either he overstated it, the severity, or he found out that they are dealing with it and they are planning on going full steam ahead and he will play in 09 with. He didn't say that anything was wrong with the story in terms of the looseness of the ligaments, as he put it, but I think they've decided they're not having another surgery, an invasive procedure, that would put 09 in jeopardy.
Okay.
So take that for what it's worth.
All right. It's worth a lot if it's true. Alden says you're an idiot, Paul.
I agree.
I'm very disappointed that you do not understand why the rest of us warm-blooded New Englanders dislike so much Peyton Manning. In a nutshell, one word, my friend, overrated. In 9 career playoff appearances, Peyton Manning is a lackluster 7-8. In 6 out of 9 appearances, Manning was 1-done 3 times on the road as a wild card, but also 3 unforgivably bad losses as a top seed at home with a bye in the divisional round. In fact, Manning never advanced out of the first round all 3 times he had the top seeded team. In the other three playoff runs, Manning managed to get to the divisional round all three times, but only to the conference championship two times and, of course, one Super Bowl. However, the 06 Super Bowl season was actually Manning's worst postseason in terms of statistical performance, in which he was 97 of 153, 63%, 200, blah, 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 six sacks, eight interceptions, and he goes on. He says, hey, I'm not saying Manning isn't a great quarterback in the regular season, and while I can't take away credit for winning at least once, although I may try, the fact is that he really has consistently underperformed in the postseason, and I think that he really just doesn't get much criticism because of his dazzling performances and MVPs during the regular season. By brief comparison, in six career playoff appearances, Brady has won and done never, lost once in the divisional round against Denver, reached the conference championship game five times, and played in the Super Bowl in four of six appearances, of course, winning thrice.
Okay.
Definitely.
Can I respond?
Definitely. Definitely, I don't hate Manning like Joey Porter or players like him.
Okay, then we could stop the whole email then.
But I do get annoyed by how highly he is regarded and that there was really even ever a debate as to who was the number one QB in the league.
My only question was why everybody hates him, not what you think of his ability.
Well, he goes on to say, I can't stand all the gushing love from
but
the national media.
He just said
media.
He doesn't hate him, but, so he's
let
fine.
Me finish.
I have no problem with
and general frenzy for all things Manning. I went to school in Indiana for 4 years. And believe me, out there, it goes Jesus Christ, then Dale Earnhardt, then Peyton Manning.
What do you think it goes here for Brady?
That and his stupid face is why we hate him so much.
See,
his stupid
face. That's the one that I really do
he
love.
He does look like a penis.
I love.
I mean, let's face it.
Well, I think that's stupid. But I love the Peyton Manning face. I love that.
He has a face.
And Patriots fans created that. You know, I want to see the Manning face. When we used to read on Pats fans all the time. The message boards. That cracks me up. I think that's hilarious. And the 03 and 04 playoffs are the personification of the Manning face.
Of course.
And I think that's hilarious.
Louie has a good question. Staying with Indiana, Tony Dungy, 127-65. That's his record. 9-9 the playoffs, one Super Bowl. Does he go in the Hall of Fame?
139 wins. That was going into this year,
okay.
127.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I don't know how coaches work, but he's one of the best 20 coaches of all time. I'll tell you that.
Okay, just something to think
that's
about.
That's a good question.
He's a really good coach.
I don't know if he's Hall
he's
of Fame
He's not in Fred Kirsch's Hall of Fame, but he's probably in the Pro
I don't think he
Hall
goes
of fame.
In the Hall of
I don't
fame.
Know what coaches are in the Hall of Fame, so that's the only
I mean,
thing
Weeb
I can't
Eubank
really...
won a Super Bowl, and he's not going in the Hall of Fame.
Lombardi's in. Chuck Knoll is
Weeb
in.
Weeb Eubank?
Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, I mean...
I know he's in the Jets Hall of
Fame. Marv Levy's in.
Marv Levy's in.
See that book?
Book. Marv Levy's right, in, and right he's and he never won one.
That's true.
Marv Levy's a great coach.
Yeah.
So it's a good question. It's a great question, actually.
I mean, Tony Dungy probably did as good a job creating the Tampa defense as he did coaching the Colts. So
right.
Maybe he does
10
get it.
10 consecutive playoff seasons. That's a remarkable.
Yeah.
And he took
his numbers. If you're just going to go purely on like a scroll on bottom of ESPN,
he's a
Hall of Fame coach.
He's probably one of the best 10 or 12 if you go just by the numbers.
Right.
But he only won one title. So I have to put other guys that didn't win as many games ahead of him.
But then, I didn't even consider Marv Levy. Who
has
21
coaches in the Hall of Fame.
He has no titles.
Yeah, but is Weeb Eubank one of them?
Yes.
Wow.
He is?
I kind of thought
well,
he was,
then Tony
too.
Dungy
I guess Tony Dungy could
What
get
do
in.
You know about Weeb Eubank?
He was the Jets coach of the Jets. In
oh, well, well, okay, sorry. I forgot he was coach of the Jets.
Forgot.
Because I think, in my mind, he's one of those names you throw out as like a coaching legend.
Wasn't
I
he
don't
also
know
coach?
Why.
Didn't
yes.
he also coach the Colts
yes.
at one point?
Yes. Absolutely. That's why I think he's a coaching legend.
All right.
But I have a question along the lines of this.
Hank Stram, should he be in?
He's in already.
I guess you win a Super Bowl, you get into the Hall of Fame. I guess
this
that's
is
the
an
way
old,
it works.
This is an old book.
Talking about this Manning thing, in light of Matt Cassel's job this year, I found some comments that made by Josh McDaniels yesterday in his press conference talking about Jay Cutler when he said he's very talented, and I think once he learns it, he's going to find this is a very quarterback-friendly system, the offensive system he's bringing from New England to Denver.
Yeah.
Does that, those two factors, in any way, do we reconsider Tom Brady's success?
Can I just interrupt for 1 second?
Especially since Matt Cassel had such success this year.
I mean, that's a key. In the course of 4 months, a backup who never played in college became a great quarterback, and the guy calling the plays said, it's a quarterback-friendly system.
Yeah, but you still got to execute.
I agree. I'm not saying he goes from
top three all time to below Jeff George, but
it's
maybe
same,
top three to top 10 or top 12.
I think it's the same argument people make with Joe Montana, that if Joe Montana weren't in the situation he was in San Francisco, he might not have been the quarterback that he was.
With Bill Walsh.
Right. So I think you can make that case with Brady. However, I think in both cases, if both of those guys had been on other teams, they probably still would have done well.
As Montana
did with Kansas City.
But I mean, for like if they had started their careers somewhere else.
I think there's an argument to be made for the detractors of Joe Montana.
Not that
he wouldn't have had success, but he wouldn't have been anywhere near what he did have.
Oh, no, no. And I think the same could probably be said about Brady. If he weren't in this system with this coach.
And asked to do these things.
And asked to do these certain things.
You know, if Joe Montana was on the Giants with a great defense and they ran the ball.
Certainly would be. He would be Joe Montana.
Well, but I don't know if he would have been asked to do as much. He would have been, make these four plays or make these five plays.
My point is
he would have won four or five Super Bowls like he did.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But in a different way. He wouldn't have been the West Coast
offense.
He wouldn't
have been the passer.
He wouldn't have been thought of. He might be closer to Phil Sims than he is to who he is right now.
Just to back up Freddie on his boy Weeb Eubank. It's only one game over 500, 130 and 129.
Yeah, so based on that, they should build a wing in Canton for Bill Belichick.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue that Belichick
No,
is
but
going.
if he's now on the same level going into the Hall of Fame as Weeb Eubank, that's ridiculous.
I think if Weeb Eubank get to play the NFC West, he would have had a much better record.
Well, Tony Dungy's got a better record than Bill Belichick. So you're laughing at Dungy being included.
But Dungy also had to take a horrible Tampa team that hadn't won in years.
Two bad teams.
But especially in Tampa.
Yeah.
He had to turn that situation around. So a lot of those losses were with the Tampa teams.
Right. Gruden came in
I know he
and
had,
won a Super Bowl.
With
but that was
players,
Dungy's team.
And I know he had Peyton Manning when he got to Indy, but they were 6-10.
But they were still, right.
They were terrible.
Right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of a lively PFW in Progress show. We'll see you Thursday.